From Louisville, Kentucky, this is live coverage of the 47th Annual ECB Convention. Now, here are your hosts, Chrissy Cochran and Larry Turnbull.
Well, how about that? How about that? Here we are. Let's turn that down a little bit. You can hear the entertainment in the background. Welcome indeed to the main session. I have with me Larry T. I hope your mic... Yes, your mic's working great.
Yep.
Excellent. So, I think what we'll do is run the convention update, and then, so as you can get an idea what's coming, and then we'll go to the entertainment. What do you think? How does that
good.
Grab you, eh?
Yep.
Okay.
Copy of any...
No, go away. There we go.
From ACB Radio, this is a 2008 convention update for Sunday, July the 6th. All times are in Eastern Daylight Time, 4 hours behind UTC. The 47th Annual National Convention of the American Council of the Blind, theme ACB in the Winner's Circle, is being held until Saturday, July the 12th at the Galt House Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky, hosted by the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Today, the exhibit hall will be open for 8 hours from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. When possible, ACB Radio Interactive will be broadcasting live exhibit hall coverage during this time, and you will be able to interact with the broadcasting team in real time by email or MSN Messenger to acbri@acbradio.org and the Speakeasy chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Broadcasting of the first general business session from the convention will commence from the Grand Ballroom at 6:30 p.m. on ACB Radio Mainstream. The pre-convention entertainment will be provided by Barbara Henning and Adele Lejeune, both of whom are Louisville natives. The session will be called to order at 7:00 p.m. by ACB President Mitch Pomerantz of Pasadena, California. The invocation will be conducted by Father William Medley, pastor of the local St. Bernadette Roman Catholic Church. Following this, the presentation of the colors and Pledge of Allegiance will be made by Oral Miller of the ACB Board of Directors from Washington District of Columbia, and Louisville native Bradley Mann will sing The Star-Spangled Banner and My Old Kentucky Home. We will then hear two welcoming speeches, the first from Mayor Jerry Abramson and the second from Darrell Buford, Chair of the Kentucky Local Host Committee. At 7:15 p.m., Monica Harden, daughter of a graduate of the Kentucky School for the Blind in Louisville, will tell us her story. At 7:45 p.m., President Pomerantz will give his annual report. ACB first-timers will be acknowledged at 8:15 p.m. by Carol Ann Ewing Ragsdale from Reno, Nevada, chair of the Durwood K. McDaniel Committee, followed at 8:25 p.m. by life membership presentations by President Pomerantz and Anna Olson of Richfield, Minnesota, and at 8:45 p.m. by the adoption of the convention's standing rules. At 9:05 p.m., Jerry Annunzio of Kansas City, Missouri, chair of the Credentials Committee, will read his first report, and ACB Secretary Marlena Lieberg of Burien, Washington, will take the roll call of affiliates at 9:20 p.m. The session will adjourn at 10:00 p.m., after which it will be repeated continuously on ACB Radio Mainstream until the start of the next session at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. During live broadcasts of the general business sessions, you'll be able to interact with the broadcasting team in real time via email or MSN Messenger at convention@acbradio.org and the politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. These services will not be available during repeat broadcasts. In addition to our coverage of the ACB National Convention, Guide Dog Users Incorporated will be broadcasting highlights from their own convention and much more besides on Dog Club Radio, which will be broadcast from 7:00 p.m. until 11:30 p.m. on ACB Radio World. For more information, please visit www.gdui.org. Please note that all times given are approximate, and all information given may change with little or no notice. For more details and the most current information, visit our website at www.acbradio.org. Read the convention information at www.acb.org/convention and keep listening for more convention updates. ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
There you are. That is Matthew Horsepool, who did the convention update for us.
Great
so,
job.
So, we're away. And so what I think we'll do, as you've now heard what is coming, we'll pass you to the entertainment, which is... Violin, I almost said fiddle. I got done for that one. Violin and piano. They were going to be violin and keyboards, but anyway, they suddenly realized, I think, there was a reasonably good piano here. So we got violin and piano, so we'll cross to that. just to let people know, I know Matthew mentioned the Our Place chat room. That will not be available for this session, at least. Email is at convention@acbradio.org, and we're working on MSN. I got to get the password for that, and then we'll be up on there. But email most certainly is convention@acbradio.org. Now back to the entertainment.
Thank you.
This is the 2008 convention, 47th annual convention of the American Council of the Blind, and we're bringing it to you on ACB Radio Mainstream. I have to be very careful not to say interactive, I've got to say.
But, anyway,
I'll just turn that back down a bit. We will have MSN Messenger up very shortly. I hope you've enjoyed the entertainment. Unfortunately, the mix of that, there was nothing much we could do about it. It was more crowd noise than music. And I hope you... let's try it again and see if we get better.
By Weber, and it's not, I did it Kentucky style, Louisville, Kentucky style. They don't know how to do a country dance in France, but that's okay.
I've got it set so it's pretty hot. But what'll happen is, if somebody looks over here, we'll pick them up. If somebody looks over there, we'll pick them up. And if somebody stands right here and just projects a little bit, listen to me, I'm just talking.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you shouldn't have any trouble.
All right.
So there shouldn't be any reason to move them. Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please get to your seats? We are going to try and start almost on time. Two minutes. While you're finding your seats, let's give an ACB round of applause to our entertainers tonight, Barbara Henning and Adele Lejeune.
Call the meeting to order, and we're going to have the invocation by Pastor William Medley of the St. Bernadette Roman Catholic Church of Louisville, Kentucky. And that'll be immediately followed by the color presentation and Pledge of Allegiance, led by Oral Miller.
Lane Waters. Ladies and gentlemen, let me call to order the 47th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. Let me welcome all of you who are here this evening from all points, north, south, east, and west, the United States, Canada, Australia, other parts of the world, and a very, very special welcome to those of you listening on ACB Radio. Let us begin the festivities this evening with an invocation by Father William Medley, pastor, St. Bernadette's Roman Catholic Church, Louisville, Kentucky. Father Medley.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, whose goodness fills our hearts with joy. Blessed are you who have brought this group together today to work in harmony and peace. May God strengthen you and bring your work to completion. May hope accompany your journey through the days to come. May God's abiding presence be with you today and all the days of your life. We stand before you, Almighty God and Holy Spirit, and be aware that we gather in your name. Come to us, remain with us, and enlighten our hearts. Give us light and strength to know your will, to make it our own, and to live it in our own lives. Guide us by your wisdom. Support us by your power, for you are God, sharing the glory of Father and Son. You desire justice for all. Enable us to uphold the rights of others. Do not allow us to ever be misled by ignorance or corrupted by fear or favor. Unite us to yourself in the bond of love and keep us faithful to all that is true. As we gather in your name, may we temper justice with love so that all our actions may be pleasing to you and earn the reward promised to good and faithful service. We ask this in the name of God, who reigns forever and ever.
Thank you, Father Medley. The presentation of the colors tonight will be handled by Boy Scout Troop 1, the oldest scout troop in Louisville, with many long ties to the local blind community. Participating in the color guard tonight is Clay Florence, whose parents are alumni of the Kentucky School for the Blind. Let's give them a round of applause. Actually, we're going to bring on a member of the ACB Board of Directors, a former president of this organization, and executive director, and more hats than we can name, to give the Pledge of Allegiance, Oral Miller.
Thank you very much. If you're able, please stand and face the podium and the flag. And join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We proceed with this magnificent convention in this wonderful nation of ours.
Thank you, Boy Scout Troop 1 and Clay Florence, for presenting the colors and being our color guard this evening. Next to bring us the Star Spangled Banner and my old Kentucky home, Bradley Mann from Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Mann. Yes. Please all rise one more time.
Minor details.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, came proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. The sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer, the people are gay. The corn tops ripe and the meadows in the bloom, while the birds make music all the day. The young folks roll on the little cabin floor, all merry, all happy and bright. By and by, hard
times come a knocking at the door, then my old Kentucky home, good night. Weep no more, my lady. Oh, weep no more today. We will sing one song for my old Kentucky home. For my old Kentucky home, far away.
Thank you, Bradley Mann. It truly is wonderful to be back at the Galt House here in Louisville, Kentucky, for what I believe will be our biggest and best convention ever. I had a chance a couple of minutes ago to meet our next speaker, who will be representing the mayor of Louisville, and I said, I'm another city employee. We have to stick together. There aren't a lot of us in this organization. So let me bring on to welcome you officially from the city of Louisville, Melissa Mershon, who is a longtime friend of the blind and visually impaired community here in Louisville, a former member of the Louisville Board of Aldermen, and she is here to welcome ACB on behalf of Mayor Jerry Abramson and Metro Louisville. Ms. Mershon, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mr. President, and to all of the delegates, I want to say welcome to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, but I don't think that I can do it any better than Mr. Mann, who sang what we call our national anthem, the Kentucky National Anthem, my old Kentucky home. So, Mr. Mann, that was beautiful, and we're so grateful. Our mayor, Jerry Abramson, is out of town and could not attend the conference tonight. And when he was looking for a volunteer, I threw my hand up as quick as possible. Mitch told you that we have something in common and that we're both civil servants, public servants. And when I was an elected official in the 80s, I had the opportunity to receive a letter from the accessibility community saying, we're celebrating National Accessibility Week, and will you volunteer to take on a disability for a day? And I thought, oh, won't that be easy? I'll volunteer. No problem, I'll volunteer. And the district that I represented when I was on the city council also included the Kentucky School for the Blind. And lo and behold, what do you think I pulled out of the hat that day but that I was going to be blind for a day? And again, I thought, isn't this going to be easy? And I was so blessed to have a great teacher with Betty Grissoni, who put the blindfold on my eye, handed me the cane, and took me off for the day. And the first thing that she did was she had me cross a very busy street. The street where the School for the Blind is, so many of you all have been to that location, and you know that Frankfort Avenue is a very busy street. And I'm not sure if you know that just prior to that, the School for the Blind had been lobbying for traffic audio signals. And I crossed the street, and I turned to her and grabbed her hand in panic. And I said, Betty, whatever you asked me for, you got it. Now, Now, I know that many of you are going to participate on lots of committees this week, and many issues are important to you. But as a former legislator, I do have to tell you how much I honor the work that you all do in the area of legislation. Carla Rushefeld was telling me about what you're doing with accessible currency and how the huge strides that you have made on the national level. And so I applaud that work. And I hope that as you delve into all issues while you're here at this conference, if you just spend, on behalf of your president and I, who care about government relations, if you just spend a teeny tiny time focusing on those legislative issues, I know that both Mitch and I will be grateful. You know, I went to a conference a long time ago when I was elected official, and the president of the association gave me some advice. He said, you know, you're going to be in a lot of meetings and you're going to hear a lot of information. He said, but where you're going to learn the most is when you're crossing from room to room, or you're pausing to get a cup of coffee, and you take the time to introduce yourself to a delegate you don't know. And if you take that time and you say, tell me what's going on in your city, what's the most important thing that you're working on, that you will really pick up some great ideas, because that's why we come to national conferences. We come to national conferences because at home we're working on the things that are important to us, and our wells become empty, and we come here to get our wells filled up. So as you are in all of your meetings and as you are meeting lots of people, take the time to ask them what's the most important thing that they're doing in their community so that you have a new idea and a good idea to take back and make your community the best place to call home. Now, the mayor has a director of accessibility, just like your president is the director of accessibility for the city of Los Angeles, and he will be joining you this week. But he was talking with the mayor and saying, what can we bring our president to let him know how grateful the conference is in Louisville? And since the theme of your conference is a race to the winning circle, we thought about one of our treasures, a thoroughbred. And we kind of thought it might be a little difficult to get it into the convention hall to give to the president. So we scratched our head and we thought, what is something else we could leave him behind? And you know, there's something that we do here in Louisville. We take a piece of white ash, oak, I'm not sure if you know that, put it on a lathe, and we turn it out to make one of the world's most famous baseball bats. It's called the Louisville Slugger. Now, your president has a gavel, and he's going to be able to bang that gavel and call you to order, but Mr. President, will you join me at the podium?
Absolutely.
I'm going to present you a teeny tiny Louisville Slugger that you can use.
Oh, thank you. Well, how cool.
Don't move. And just to make sure, Mitch, that you know that the president of our city council and that the mayor of our city wants to ensure that all the delegates of this community have a wonderful conference when they're here in Louisville, the mayor has asked me to bring you a proclamation. And it reads, greetings to whom all these presents shall come. Know ye that the week of July 6, 2008 is hereby proclaimed in the city of Louisville, Kentucky to be the American Council for the Blind Week, and that he urges all city citizens to take note of this very special recognition. To you, Mr. President, on your first conference as president, we give you this proclamation and hope you have a very successful conference.
Thank you very much.
He wants you to pose for one moment.
All right.
Good. To all the delegates, I hope you have a wonderful conference while you're here in Louisville. Have a little bit of fun. I know you're going out to our American Printing House for the Blind that's 150 years old, has a fabulous museum. So have a little bit of fun while you're here. And after you leave and you go home to make your communities better, I hope you think in the back of your mind, I can't wait to come back to Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Mershon. I may have to present this bat to the Dodgers because they really need all the hitting help they can get. I will not repeat what Oral just said. It had something to do with making sure my wife didn't get a hold of it. I will never be in Joel Snyder's league, but I wanted to let everybody know that to the left and to the right of the podium are two silver plates that commemorate our little do yesterday at Churchill Downs. The sixth race was the American Council of the Blind sweepstakes, and we got to present the trophy to the winning jockey, and we had actually made two of these up, one for him and one for us, and he was very gracious and offered it back to me. And several of us actually had the winning ticket. Because the name of the horse was Quiet Alice. And Peter Pardini, if you're listening to us tonight on ACB Radio, his wife and our fellow CCB and ACB member Alice Chavez passed away 2 weeks ago. We had to bet on that horse, and she won. Let's went off on 7-2 odds. It was a pretty conservative bet, just like the way I play blackjack. Let us now hear from the chair of the Kentucky Local Host Committee to officially greet you. Let's have a warm welcome for Daryl Buford.
Mr. President, fellow delegates, we want to welcome you to the great state of Kentucky on behalf of the Kentucky delegation. Kentucky is full of rich tradition. We're known for our White Castle hamburgers, Kentucky fried chicken. We're known for those Louisville Slugger bats. And we're known for our fine-aged Kentucky bourbon, our beautiful ladies, our elegant traditions that is Stephen Foster, my home's musical, and the thundering hoof prints that go down the stretch as they cross the finish line at Churchill Downs. We welcome you, and we hope that your stay here is a gracious stay and that we can do anything that we can to help you this week. Please let us know. I do want to share with you six words that are embedded on the Kentucky state flag this week as you ponder legislation and policies and procedures this week and you strive to make changes not only here, nationwide. The motto of the state of Kentucky, united we stand and divided we fall. For we know in Kentucky that we are weak when we stand alone, but united we can change things and make a difference. Enjoy your stay in Kentucky, and thank you.
Daryl, I want to say that I've already enjoyed the bourbon and the White Castle. Not at the same sitting, however. Same day, different time. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that is so enjoyable about traveling to different parts of the country is finding out about the history, the culture, and certainly the people who live in that particular part of the country. So we are now going to hear Monica's story. Monica Hardin, Miss Kentucky 2001, and the daughter of a graduate of the Kentucky School for the Blind here in Louisville. Let me bring on Monica Hardin.
Is this in your left? Yes, please.
All right. We shall move some things. There we go.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Good evening. Well, it's been pretty upbeat tonight. I feel good because I don't think I have to do too much up here to get you all hypered up and pumped up. You all feeling all right today? Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm so glad that you all are here in my hometown, and we've certainly had plenty of welcomes here. And first of all, I just want to say thank you to the American Council of the Blind for having me here tonight, especially Ms. Carla Rushville, who works so hard. I called her yesterday afternoon. She called me early in the morning, so I returned her call, and I knew you all were at the track. I heard people, and then her pager's going off, and all sorts of things were happening. But let's just give her a hand for the hard work that she's put in to all of this. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm not an event planner, much like Carla is, but I did plan a 500-person event for last month. It happened on June 7th, 2008, and I'm really glad to say that I've been there, done that. I planned my event, and now I have a new husband because of that. So I want to say thank you to my husband for being here tonight, James Booker. So now my name is actually Monica Booker. It's brand new, so this is my first speaking engagement since we've been married, and it's such a joy to be here with you this evening. And tonight I just want to share with you a message called The Power of One. And to give you a little bit of background about my mom, she was a graduate of the Kentucky School for the Blind, and I was able to meet Mr. David, who's sitting way back in the back corner all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we were talking earlier this evening. And he asked me a few questions about my mother. And I said, he probably won't be the only one who was wondering these things. But my mother was born and raised right here in Louisville. She graduated from the Kentucky School for the Blind. And she worked at St. Mary and Elizabeth's Hospital in the X-ray room for many, many years. And then she decided that she wanted to be a mother. And by a show of hands, how many moms do I have in the house? Plenty of them. And how many of you all know that being a mother is enough of a job in and of itself? Yes, ma'am. So she decided after the first couple of us were born, she had four children, that she was going to be a stay-at-home mother and take really great care of us. And she'd been home ever since then. And she's still around running things, directing our lives, and guiding us. But my mother taught me a lot of great lessons in life. And I'm going to share with you all a little bit. And I want you to think about that because a mother, we all come from a mother. One woman carries us in her womb. There's power in one. And this evening, I want to just ask you a quick question. This might be the last one I'll ask you, but just hear me out. This is serious. What would life be like without Reese's peanut butter cups? Yeah, somebody's clapping back there. What would it be like? Now, I want to talk to you first off about the word purpose. There's a man by the name of George Washington Carver. If you know who he is, he was known as the Peanut Man, right? So George Washington Carver knew that his purpose in life was to find inventions for the peanut. Now, I'm sure people looked at him like he was just a nut himself, crazy. Because his passion was poured into every single day, finding more inventions, more uses. I hear that he came up with over 200 inventions, 200 uses for the peanut. And what a powerful tool his life was. And because he knew what his purpose was, we can now enjoy those Reese's peanut butter cups, right? But I'm convinced in this life that God has a purpose for all of our lives. And if we could just figure out what that one thing is we were created to do, then the world will have such a special gift. So, everybody say purpose for me.
Purpose.
No, you have to know your purpose and know that God has a special purpose for your life, each and every one of us, and it's powerful. And only you can decide what that purpose is and ask God to show you what it is and then work towards it every day. So he knew what his purpose was. Now, when you have a purpose, it's easier to have a passion. Everybody say passion. Yeah, y'all make me feel good up here. I can preach tonight. No. But we have your purpose, then you have a passion. When you know what your purpose is, it helps you to be passionate about something. You could tell when the woman from the mayor's office came up here this evening that she was passionate about being here tonight, right? We don't know where she had come from, where she was earlier today. She may have been exhausted, had no sleep. But because she is here tonight and she has a passion for working with the blind, it fueled her and gave her energy. When we have a passion and we can pour ourselves into something that we're passionate about and we know our purpose, it gives us that energy that we need. I'm reminded tonight about a story of an old prairie farmer who was out on the farm, and he found this little baby eagle. And maybe you've heard this story before. But he found this baby eagle, and he saw it, and he decided he was going to do something different with this bird. He decided he was going to place this baby eagle with his chickens and raise this eagle as a baby chicken. So you all know what chickens do. I mean, even if you didn't grow up on a farm, they cackle and run around and nip at each other. That's what they do. So that's what this baby eagle did. And he grew up with all the rest of the chickens. And one day they were out on the farm, and he looked up into the sky and saw this majestic bird flying. And he looked at one of his other fellow chickens, and he said, "Wow, wouldn't that be neat to be able to fly? Because chickens can't fly." And the chicken looked at him and said, "You know what? We weren't made to do that. There's no way. Don't even look up there. You can just forget about it." The saddest part about that story is that the whole time, that eagle was made to soar. The eagle had everything he needed to fly, to be that bird majestic in the sky. But what happened? He listened to what other people told him. He took how he was raised. And when he saw something he wanted, he listened to somebody else discourage him. And he thought that he was a chicken his whole life. And sometimes in life, I know that, you know, people want to look at us, and especially when you have whatever you call it, a disability. My mother does not have any disabilities, I can tell you that. Because when she needed to take care of us, she did. But people want to look at us for whatever reason, and they would like to put us in a box and tell us who we are, what we are to do, and who we are to become. But I'm here to tell you tonight, no matter what, that you have been brought to this earth for greatness, for purpose, to have a passion, most of all, to be powerful in your life, to have a power to make a difference, the power of one. You know, I remember at the age of 8 years old, elementary school. Can you all go back there with me for a moment? Those were the good old days, weren't they? No responsibilities. You go to school. You might not have liked going to school all the time, but you went anyway. And I remember Fridays were my favorite day of the week. They were the best days, yeah. And Fridays in my school were chicken nugget mashed potato days, my favorite. So I remember one Friday night being so pumped up about the whole day, and it was my night to watch TV with my parents without my brothers there to interrupt. So it was a good day. Things were looking up, and we get home, and I was getting ready to watch my favorite TV show of all, Family Matters. Have you all seen that? Yeah. Well, I have to tell you a little something. When I was 8 years old, I just thought Steve Urkel was the biggest hunk, and I had the biggest crush on him. And I remember that night just being so ready to watch my crush on TV, and we turn on the television, and what happens every single time you're ready to watch your favorite show? It is not on. Something else happens. Oh. And we had to resort to the ever-so-dreaded channel surfing. So we start to flip through the channels. I'm very upset at this point. And all of a sudden, I see this woman on television, and she looks just like me. Now, I'm telling you all, I'm 8 years old. You know I didn't look like a woman, right? But I had a really good imagination. And I asked my parents if we could watch the show, and they said, "Sure, let's watch." Well, we continue to watch the show. That woman, who I thought looked just like me, said where she was from, how old she was, what college she went to. Well, I found out I was watching the Miss America pageant. Whoever knew? Now, all right, by show of hands, now don't be afraid now. Just raise your hand if you've seen the Miss America pageant. Pretty, okay, everybody. Even the guys raise their hands. This is good. All right. Now, you all know the deal. In the Miss America pageant, they do the parade of states first, right? Then they narrow it down to the top 10. So they get ready to call up the top 10, and I just wanted that woman who I thought I looked just like to make it. So they call out the names, and they're starting to call out all the contestants. And all of a sudden, they call the lady's name out who looked just like me. And I was so excited. And so during that portion of the competition, they have to come out in the guy's favorite. What's that? Swimsuit, So they did swimsuit competition, then evening gown, and after that they had to narrow it down to the top five. So at this point, I felt like the lady who looked just like me was doing pretty well, but I didn't know if she would make it. So they start to call out the contestants one by one, and finally they called out her name for the top five. And in the top five, they have the talent competition, and then they have the interview portion. It kind of reminds me of the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Yeah, because they don't have any lifelines, huh? So I remember that night, some of the young ladies they asked the questions to, they kind of fumbled through them, and they got to the woman who I thought looked just like me, and she answered them perfectly. And I remember that night watching Debbie Turner become the second African-American Miss America in history. And that same night, I remember turning to my parents and saying, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be Miss America. And you know what they said to me? She said, oh, no. No. They looked at me and they said, Monica, you can be anything you want to be. The power of one. Because, you see, I was 8 years old. They could have just said, oh, you are just too cute. Go on and go play with your dolls or something. No. But they taught me one of the most important lessons that I've ever learned in my life, and that's the power of our words. And I remember after that day, I went to bed, and I was dreaming of becoming Miss America. And that next day, I went to tell my best friend in the whole wide world. Everybody had one in elementary school, right? Your best friend in the whole wide world. So I go to my best friend in the whole wide world, and I said, look, I know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm going to be Miss America. And she looked at me, and she laughed at me in my face. And I was crushed. And I was a very sensitive child, still am sensitive, and I cried. And then a little light bulb went off in my head. I said, oh, I'm crying now, but I'm going to make her cry. I'm going to go tell her mom on her. So I went, and I went and I told her mom, and just knew I was going to get her in trouble. And don't you know her mother laughed at me too? I had that dream in my heart, and I was crushed. So I went home. Tears running down my face. I think my parents probably thought I broke my arm or something when I walked in the house. And they asked me what was wrong. And I told them that my best friend in the whole wide world made fun of my dream. And they said, Monica, it doesn't matter what other people say. Remember, you can be anything you want to be. So from that day on, I really didn't tell anybody else about my dream. Why? I didn't want them laughing at me. I learned with the quickness. But I went on, made it through elementary school, went into middle school. Those were some rough, rough years. We don't even have to go into all the details of that. But middle school, whew. We just say hormones and changes and Lord have mercy. But when I made it through middle school, I knew that God up in heaven had to have a special plan for my life. So I said, okay, you helped me make it through middle school. What is your purpose for my life? So I started to pray about what my purpose was. I won one of my very first pageants, had my little tiara on in my little sash. And I went out to speak to a group of young children. It was for a back-to-school bash. And afterwards, this little girl came up to me. She was 6 years old, teeny tiny, came a little bit above my kneecap. And I thought she wanted my autograph. So I busted out my little ink pen and bent over to sign an autograph for her. And she looked up at me and she said, I don't want your autograph. Pride always comes before humility, right? And so I start to walk away and she tugs on my pant leg. And she said, hold on, I have a question for you. She said, are you rich? She saw the crown, right? She saw the banner. And she saw the one outfit I wore to every single appearance, right? And it hit me in that moment what my purpose was. I had this dream from the age of 8 years old to become Miss America. I wanted to be a model. And I had to look at her that moment and say, you know what? I've never been rich with money. You know, believe it or not, my mom is blind. She's been blind since she was your age, 6 years old. My dad's a janitor. We've never had a lot of money. But you know what my parents have always taught me? If you keep God first in your life, then you can overcome any obstacle. Amen. So with your faith in God plus an education, you can gain success. And she ran off that day, didn't probably even think about what I said. But I knew what my purpose was at that point. So going into high school, I had my purpose. I still had that dream in my heart. I graduated from high school, won Miss Kentucky at the age of 19 years old, the second youngest in Kentucky. And I have my crown here. I know some of you all can see it, some of you can't, but I wish I could just pass it around the room and let everybody hold it. Mr. President, I'm going to let you hold it here. But look, don't try to stick it in your pocket. I see your beautiful wife down there. So, honey, you watch him, okay? No. But here's the crown, though. And it has what we call, the young folks call, bling bling on it. It has 4 points. It is gorgeous. It's something that little girls dream of. I think all little girls dream of being a princess from the time they are just born. It's just in us. And when I look at this crown and when they put it on my head, it became really, really cool to be able to tell other young people about true success. That it doesn't matter where you come from, who your folks are, but what matters is having faith in God, faith in yourself, and educating yourself, and knowing with those things we can achieve success. And so I just think it's so neat that all it took was one person to make an inspiration in my life, my mother, another person, my father. All it takes is each and every one of us, where we are, to make a difference. And I think it's so cool that I can stand in front of all of you now to say, you know what? Mona Lisa Tillman Hardin. People might say, some might think she never really did much in her life. But look at what she produced in a young woman, a responsible citizen. I now work in television for Louisville CBS affiliate. Just started anchoring right after we came back from our honeymoon. And it's all because of how my parents raised me. So know that no matter what it looks like in life, that you have a purpose. You can live life with passion. And when you know your purpose and you live life with passion, then your life will be powerful and you will make a powerful difference in your world. One song can spark a moment. One flower can wake the dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise our spirits. One touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make the difference. You see, it's up to you. God bless.
Thank you, Monica Hardin. Ladies and gentlemen, it is truly an honor to be standing before you this evening to give my first report as the 10th president of the American Council of the Blind. We have gathered here in the city of Louisville, Kentucky, at our 47th annual national convention to practice and uphold the principles of grassroots democracy and individual freedom of thought and action that the founders of our organization were seeking when they walked out of the 1961 NFB convention to begin the process of forming ACB. All of us here this week honor their memory through our presence at this convention. Before reviewing some of the highlights
since the 2007 convention, I'd like to recognize someone without whom it would have been impossible for me to have survived this past year, my soulmate and wife, Donna. Babe, this wouldn't have happened without you, and I want everyone here to know that. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the members of the ACB Board of Directors for their support and assistance this past year. We had some extremely important matters to address, and the board tackled each one professionally and collaboratively. For this, a special thank you. Let me also mention the contributions of the approximately 30 ACB committees, their chairpersons and members. This week, if you choose, you can experience the fruits of several of those committees and task forces. If I were to try naming them all, I'd likely forget one or two, so please refer to your program in order to recognize the hard work of these committees and their positive impact on this convention. Also throughout the week, during plenary sessions, you will pass judgment on the work of the credentials, constitution and bylaws, and resolutions committees. In a few moments, I'll talk about the efforts of the Monthly Monetary Support, or MMS, committee and its importance to ACB. I want to begin by summing up the previous 12 months for the American Council of the Blind by referring to the title of a favorite Frank Sinatra tune, "It Was a Very Good Year." Overall, ACB's financial situation has improved dramatically. Every organization needs cash reserves, money for a rainy day, so to speak. For the first half of 2007, ACB's reserves were around $300,000, not good for an organization with $1 million-plus annual budget. Since last August, the American Council of the Blind has received four bequests in excess of six figures. The board took advantage of our good fortune by increasing ACB's designated reserves to something over $1 million. Our history tells us that lean times will come again, but when they do, ACB will be in a far better position to deal with them. By the way, I want to mention that we are going to honor those individuals and organizations that have contributed $100,000 or more to ACB with a plaque which will be prominently displayed in our national office. One of my goals for this past year was to hire a full-time development director to manage ACB's fundraising activities. On May 1st, Dina Wilson began her employment with us. This is a huge step for our organization in competing for those elusive corporate foundation and individual dollars. Ms. Wilson will make ACB competitive with other not-for-profit organizations, something which is essential for our continued existence. Dina, please get to a mic and say a couple of words so everyone could hear your voice. She should be here.
Say hi, Dina.
I'm kind of short, so I got to turn the mic a little bit down. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. This is my, as you know, my first convention. I've met a lot of people. I hope to continue to meet you all. I'll be here all week. And I will just say hello, stop by the registration information, because I am at the doing the MMS program. So stop by, upgrade your, you know, donations, contribution. And if you haven't, please register, you know, and just say hello.
She got the plug in for MMS before I had a chance to.
Good fundraiser.
Thank you, Dina. While ACB is taking a more professional approach to fundraising, I feel strongly that our members must share in this effort as well. The MMS program is experiencing slow, albeit steady, growth. Altogether, through June, 144 individuals are contributing just under $50,000 annually to ACB and our state and special interest affiliates. ACB alone is receiving approximately $3,100 per month, or slightly over $37,000 per year. Our affiliates are receiving a bit over $1,000 per month, or around $12,000 per year. Those figures are okay, especially given the relatively small number participating in the MMS program. Ladies and gentlemen, we can and must do better, beginning with this convention. If you believe in the work of the American Council of the Blind, please take some time this week to see Dina Wilson or Dr. Ron Milliman, the MMS chairperson, and sign up. Since we're talking about money, let's recognize ACB's tremendous victory on May 20th in the D.C. Appellate Court. As most everyone knows by now, the court upheld the decision in district court supporting our contention that the U.S. Treasury Department is in violation of the Rehabilitation Act by failing to provide meaningful access to currency for blind and visually impaired persons. The publicity ACB has received in this nation's newspapers, on radio and television, and via the Internet has been overwhelmingly positive toward the ruling and our organization. I'd like to read a quote from the decision which puts this fight and our victory in proper perspective. Quote, "The Secretary's argument is analogous to contending that merely because the mobility impaired may be able either to rely on the assistance of strangers or to crawl on all fours in navigating architectural obstacles, they are not denied meaningful access to public buildings. Such dependence is anathema to the stated purpose of the Rehabilitation Act and places the visually impaired at a distinct disadvantage in two-way transactions involving paper currency." End quote. Even before the appellate court ruling, every member of this organization knew
that if 180 countries around the world can make their legal tender accessible to their blind citizens, the good old U.S. of A. can do so as well.
Yeah!
Regardless of whether the Treasury Department appeals this decision, I am absolutely certain that the United States will have currency which is completely identifiable to us. Perhaps not right away, but sooner than most people think. Unlike the misguided and disingenuous position of the National Federation of the Blind, which believes that blind and visually impaired persons can attain full equality by purchasing yet another expensive gadget, we know that blind and visually impaired persons will benefit from and truly want paper money we can identify without having to rely on sighted friends, family members, or strangers.
Yeah! Woo!
And in case you haven't already heard, at our convention this week, we have a consultant for the Treasury Department, Jeffrey Witt, who will be conducting a couple of focus groups as well as other activities to gather input regarding our ideas on accessible currency. I urge every one of you to inundate this gentleman with your input. He has just come from NFB. He needs to see how totally committed we are to the concept of identifiable currency.
Yes, he does.
Speaking of violations of the Rehabilitation Act, in April, ACB achieved an initial victory in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California against the Social Security Administration. Despite countless requests from blind and visually impaired beneficiaries, SSA has refused to provide correspondence and other written information in accessible formats. The issue under consideration is whether SSA has an obligation under the Rehab Act to do so without regard to whether blindness is the basis for receiving benefits. The court order holds SSA is so obligated, and it is likely the decision will be appealed, meaning that the case will go to trial at some point. It's amazing to me that 35 years after passage of the Rehabilitation Act, there are still federal agencies like the Social Security Administration which do not understand that the law applies to them. It does, and we will prove it in federal court. I want to acknowledge the outstanding work of two of the hardest working attorneys I know, Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian.
Yeah. Woo.
It is through their efforts that ACB members can celebrate accessible automated teller machines and point-of-sale machines at banks and other business establishments. Since last July, ACB has signed new agreements with 7-Eleven to install 5,000 tactile POSs by June 30, 2009. With Rite Aid, to make its website W3C accessible, and in a second agreement, to install tactile point-of-sale machines in 6,000 stores nationwide. With Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, to make credit reports available online, in accessible formats that comply with WC3 guidelines, as well as in Braille, large print, and audio formats by the end of the year.
Yeah.
We and many of our affiliates continue to be involved in ongoing monitoring of previous agreements, including those with Walmart, Radio Shack, and Safeway. We continue to track talking ATM agreements with Bank of America and Washington Mutual, and our agreement with the City and County of San Francisco, which to date has seen over 500 accessible pedestrian signals installed. Laney and Linda, along with ACB, are pioneers in this area by avoiding costly and divisive litigation, a strategy that others in the disability community would do well to emulate. On May 1st, ACB participated in a very important congressional hearing in Washington. As a founding member of the Coalition of Organizations for Accessible Technology, COAT, ACB put several months of intensive effort into this hearing before the House Energy and Commerce Committee's subcommittee on telecommunications and the Internet. This subcommittee heard from members of the disability community, including a representative of ACB, on the impact of largely inaccessible consumer electronics. Our representative, Sergeant Major Jesse Acosta, an Iraq War veteran from Southern California, is at the convention, and I hope at this opening session. Are you here, Jesse?
Yes, I am. Yeah!
I told Jesse a week ago Saturday at a local chapter fundraiser that he'd better be here tonight, but I didn't tell him why.
I'm here.
Sergeant Major, that round of applause is both for your service to ACB and your service to this country. I understand you're welcome, Jesse. I understand that Jesse's testimony was outstanding. It was well received by subcommittee members. And subsequently, H.R. 6320, the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act of 2008, was introduced by Markey of Massachusetts and Wilson of New Mexico.
That bill would amend the Communications Act to ensure that new Internet-enabled telephone and television services are accessible to and usable by people with disabilities and closes existing gaps in telecommunications law. The feeling around Washington is that we have a very good chance of seeing that bill enacted during this session of Congress. It will only happen, though, with your help. Increasingly, ACB's input is being sought out and taken seriously by governmental entities and lawmakers. Our influence in Washington and throughout the blindness community is likewise growing. On June 23rd, ACB and other organizations offered testimony at a hearing convened by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation concerning the effect that quiet cars are beginning to have on the safety and independence of blind and visually impaired people. Along with talking about this problem, we are supporting H.R. 5734, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008, even though ACB did not introduce it. The language in 5734 mirrors that which ACB drafted, and those of you who attended this year's legislative seminar discussed with your congressional representatives. The growing popularity of hybrid automobiles poses a sufficiently serious threat to all of us that ACB must actively seek passage of this legislation regardless of who was first to introduce it. I also want to tell you that we have drafted a resolution for next month's World Blind Union that we are taking to Geneva, Switzerland, and introducing there. My understanding from Carl Augusto of AFB is we've got a very good chance of having that resolution supported unanimously by all members of the North American Caribbean region of the World Blind Union. We should be very proud of that. And I will report later in the year as to whether we get that resolution passed in Geneva. While on the topic of pedestrian safety, I also want everyone to know that Debbie Grubb, who was largely responsible for drafting ACB's first pedestrian safety handbook, has agreed to update that excellent document for us. You'll hear more about this in the months to come. Thank you, Debbie. Yet another area in which ACB must exert our influence centers on the congressional effort to drastically alter the Randolph-Shepard vending program. S-3112 NZ of Wyoming would introduce sweeping changes to the existing statute, and several of those changes would be catastrophic. ACB will work closely with the Randolph-Shepard Vendors of America and the Blind Entrepreneurs Alliance to remove those harmful provisions from the bill and advocate on behalf of those proposals which will enhance the Randolph-Shepard Act by guaranteeing its viability for decades to come. Something which has been keeping our executive director, controller, and me very busy over the past several months has been the search for office space. The leases on both ACB's existing locations in downtown Minneapolis and in Washington, D.C. expire later this year, and Melanie Brunson and Lane Waters have been involved in finding new digs. I am pleased to announce that they have, and that the board recently approved those leases. Our Minneapolis office will relocate to the suburbs in August, and the D.C. office will move to Arlington, Virginia, just two metro stops from the district around New Year's. A few additional, relatively brief updates are in order before closing. Again, thanks to ACB's improved finances, we are publishing 12 issues of the Braille Forum for the first time in 3 years. Our magazine is read by thousands of blind people, not to mention the thousands of sighted individuals who are sincerely interested in what the American Council of the Blind is thinking and doing. More good news. On June 24th, the House Appropriations Subcommittee on the Legislative Branch voted to allocate $34.5 million for the Digital Talking Book Program. This was wholly unexpected, given previous strong opposition to increasing funding for the National Library Service beyond the original requested $12.5 million. If this level of funding clears the remaining legislative hurdles, the transition from cassette to digital format will take place in 3 rather than the 4 or even 6 years to complete had the lesser amount been allocated. We went to Capitol Hill and we said we needed, or the National Library Service needed, this allocation, and we got it. We are being heard. In the same week, the House, totally out of left field, passed H.R. 3195, the ADA Restoration Act. While it does include language we recommended addressing low vision aids, web accessibility language we proposed was not considered. It is unclear whether the Senate version of this legislation, which differs somewhat from the House bill, will be taken up during this session of Congress. We will see. We have finalized arrangements for the 2009 President's Meeting and Legislative Seminar. Both activities will take place from February 20 through 24 at the Holiday Inn Crystal City, very near Washington National Airport. Room rates are $119 per night across the board. We wanted to get the word out as soon as possible so that you could begin planning to attend. While running for president last summer, I indicated that I wanted to make the Washington connection available in Spanish. I soon discovered that our existing phone system could not handle additional message boxes, so the Spanish language connection would have to wait until we had a more modern system. I'm pleased to tell you that it appears very likely ACB will have that new telephone system in place later this summer. Since I'd already found someone, prematurely as it turned out, to handle the Spanish translation, my expectation is that this will happen shortly after the phone system is in operation. At our June 24th board teleconference meeting, this is for all candidates, we approved a policy which will provide a limited stipend to members of the Board of Directors, Board of Publications, and officers. It will not apply to persons elected at this convention who will be participating in only the post-convention board of directors meeting, but will apply beginning with the fall board and mid-year board of publications meetings. By now, most everyone is aware that in January, after a routine inquiry by the board of directors, DeMar Travel and Cruises notified ACB that it was terminating its contract with us. While unfortunate, the decision was strictly that of the DeMar management. Subsequently, we gathered the names of travel agencies from around the country and issued a letter requesting proposals relative to becoming ACB's travel consultant. Also, unfortunately, largely due to the current economic downturn, it appears that none of the organizations from whom we received proposals were willing and able to offer the level of service ACB members had come to expect at a reasonable cost. As such, for at least this year, we will not be offering cruise opportunities. We will continue searching for an experienced travel agent and will keep you updated on our efforts. I do, however, want to let everyone know that Dimensions in Travel, the travel agency which arranges cruises for guide dogs for the blind, has offered its services to ACB members. The agency will rebate to us $25 for travel booked through it, which exceeds $1,500 in value, and where the person booking indicates their affiliation with ACB. While Dimensions in Travel was not able to meet our terms for conducting cruises at the present time, this is an offer which may benefit many of you and will provide some revenue to ACB. Please take advantage of this offer the next time you are planning a vacation or business trip. I have now served as your president for 1 year, and I am so gratified and encouraged by the support I've received to date. This organization is only as strong as our 70-plus state and special interest affiliates and the approximately 20,000 men and women comprising the membership of the American Council of the Blind. Every one of you has my commitment and the commitment of the Board of Directors that we will do everything in our power to continue fostering the democratic legacy left to us by our founders. It is my strongly held belief that the American Council of the Blind is the only truly grassroots consumer advocacy organization remaining in the nation today. We have a tremendous responsibility, an obligation even, to strengthen and grow ACB in order to nurture this democratic legacy. My vision for ACB's future is based upon our history and heritage, which upholds the twin ideals of true democracy and an abiding belief in the individual abilities and capabilities of blind people. The American Council of the Blind stands poised on the threshold of real greatness as the preeminent consumer voice of all blind and visually impaired persons, not just of a fortunate elite. I trust you will agree that this is a vision worthy of ACB and that you will help to promote this vision whenever and wherever possible, and to everyone you know. Thank you and take care. And this time it's my fault, but in the great tradition of ACB, we're behind schedule. I want now, I'm hearing a call for a door prize. Carla, who is the, I should have asked you this before, shouldn't I? Well, I'm a rookie here. Carla, who is going to be handling door prizes this convention? Debbie and Susan, well, specifically Debbie, it's going to take some practice to get that last name right. So it's going to be Susan and Debbie for a while. So let's have, are you prepared to draw a door prize? Okay. Well, that is fine. We will defer the door prizes for a bit of time. I want to now bring on, and her name got longer recently, as you might see. I want to bring on Carol Ann Ewing Ragsdale, who is the chair of the Durward K. McDaniel Committee, to introduce our ACB first timers. Carol? Yes.
Thank you, Mitch. Durward K. McDaniel. How many of you remember him? And what a vision he had for the American Council of the Blind. And I felt that tonight as I listened to Mitch talk. I think we have another person with a great vision, don't you? Yes. Yes. Durward had a great vision for the American Council of the Blind, and one of the things that he gave was strength, courage to his vision. And a few years ago, it was decided that there would be a first-timers award given to someone in his name, which allowed them to come to the American Council of the Blind Convention to gain strength, to gain courage, and to give them the opportunity for leadership after rubbing shoulders with you. Have a great committee. It's been my pleasure to chair it for the past few years, but let me name them for you, and if you'd be happy, I'd be happy if you'd give them a round of applause to say thank you. Catherine Skivers. Terry Prochako and Stephanie Hall. Carl McCoy. Yes, Florida. Mike Honey and Alan Casey. And we have Mike Gradino as the board rep. And Melanie Bronson as the staff rep. This year we decided to give award two awards, one from someone from east of the Mississippi and one to someone from west of the Mississippi. We received 17 applications that were complete and 3 applications that were incomplete. And it is most difficult to select and to choose. But we have 2 wonderful people. One from Alaska, Mary Montgomery. We have left messages for her. I have heard that she's been running around waiting on people and serving with the auction last night with the recordings. If she's in the room, would she come up this way, please? She is from Alaska. Then we have Benjanina Green from South Carolina. I spoke with her this afternoon, and she's headed this way also. I need them to say hello to you and introduce themselves a little bit so that you have an idea of who they are, where they came from, and what they're gaining so far from this organization, this association. Well, I found Mary and finally met her. Talked to her a few times on the phone, and here she is, Mary Montgomery.
Thank you. This is very much to be an honor here. My name is Mary Montgomery, and I'm a little Eskimo from Anchorage, Alaska. And I'm very, very pleased to be here. I never thought I'd ever be here in my whole life. Of course, I never thought I'd have optic neuritis, but since I do have it, I'm very honored that there is a place here to come to, that I'm not alone in this life for myself. And that means a lot to me. I'm a widow. I don't have any children, so this was a very scary experience for myself. But since coming to the AIB in Anchorage, Alaska, I have learned that I am not alone. And I gained my strength from there, and I'm very, very honored to be here. Thank you for choosing me.
And the next one is from South Carolina, which wants to be called Nia, N-I-A, Green, and here she is.
Hello, everyone. My name is Benjania. I do prefer to be called Nia. I've met some of you, and I've spoken with some of you, and it is a pleasure to be here. It's remarkable. I work in South Carolina for Disabilities, and to see, it's like family. It's like home. Ms. Harden was talking earlier about purpose and passion and all of that. And I'm a little bit younger, but I know what that passion she was talking about. It's about being where you need to be and doing what you need to do to make changes happen. And it feels good to be here and see this happening right now in 2008.
Well, now you've heard two new leaders coming in through ACB. So continue to rub shoulders with them. We have a reception on Thursday afternoon, 5 o'clock. If you haven't met them and shook hands, we want you to be there anyway. We're serving mint juleps in derby glasses. Remember those? Yes, again, we'll have that. So, and we'll be selling tickets. We need to support them. So we have a drawing for $300 or $150 or $75. So if you haven't purchased your ticket or booked a ticket yet, you'll have the opportunity before the week is over. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. I am looking forward to this next part of the program for reasons that will become evident later. Anna Olson, are you up here? We have life membership certificates to announce and to award. And what I am going to do is to, and I hope that most of the folks are here, Anna Olson is up at a table just in front of, and I think to your left of the podium. It is where you are. Yeah, good. I can tell my right from my left. Backwards. And we do want to move things along, but we want to hear from those honorees who are here this evening. From the Mississippi Council of the Blind, a life membership was awarded to Gary Austin. Is Gary here? Good. Come to a mic, or come up front, actually, so you get your certificate.
This was presented to me by the Mississippi Council of the Blind, for which I thank each and every one of you very much. Thank you.
The next honoree, and let me know if he's here, is Luther Dement. Is Luther here? Apparently not. From Mississippi.
Yes. Mr. Dement is not here, and I'm accepting his plaque, for which the Mississippi Council of the Blind is proud to give Mr. Dement, who is one of our charter members, a life membership.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Thank Luther. And the third honoree from Mississippi, Doug Leprade, or Leprade. Is Doug here?
No, and also the Mississippi Council of the Blind is also having, and it's Doug Leprade.
Yes,
and to give Mr. Leprade this, for which I am accepting, and he is also one of our charter members and lifelong members.
Very good. I thought it rhymed with Lestrade from Scotland Yard. I'm a Sherlock Holmes fan. The next six honorees were all previously awarded their certificates. They all come from the Hastings Chapter, ACB of Nebraska. And I will read off the names, and perhaps one or more of them are here tonight. Sally Baird, Larry Baumgartner, Lowell Pop, Donald and Vivian Pullman, Howard Simons, he was six, if I can count. Are any of these fine folks here this evening? None of them. They're all in Hastings. All right. Jim, give them our greetings and our thanks for being life members, and certainly the Hastings chapter. The next honoree, we had a lot of losses recently. And this one, sadly, is given posthumously, the ACB of Ohio, to a former affiliate president, Arlene R. Cohen.
Mitch.
Yes.
Myself, Jill Noble, and Leah Wattel are here to accept this. We want to give this to her husband. Arlene was very dedicated to ACB. I met her in 1985, and she was involved on the local level for a fundraiser. She was involved with a fundraiser we do for kids for 20 years. She also was our president for many, many years, several terms, and also served as a board member and the president of Ohio. And I think she's probably been to 10 or 12 of the national legislative seminars. And we want to thank ACB, and we want to present this to her husband. And
thank
here's
you.
Leah Herward.
Thank you. We really love her, like Jill just said, and we were able to honor her, like Mitch said, at our last convention, and we were really, really happy that she made it there, because we were so... It was just a wonderful day for her, and we were so proud. So thank you for this award.
We have two life member honorees from the state of North Carolina, where I had the honor of visiting last fall. Thank you, Ron Ellard. First, from North Carolina, and I know he's here, he's everywhere, Alan Casey.
There's a certain irony to my being here tonight. 10 years ago, I'd never heard of ACB. 9 years ago, I lost most of my eyesight after surgery. And 8 years ago, I became a member of the North Carolina Council and of ACB. The last 8 years have been interesting. They've been challenging. They've been educational. And I hope they've been beneficial, certainly to me and to the council as well. And I have two people that I need to thank in particular for this. Without them, I would not be here tonight. They gave me encouragement. They gave me support. They challenged me. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Those two people are the immediate past president of the North Carolina Council, the late Dwayne Yelton, and our current president, Ron Eller. So I say to Wayne, to Ron, to NCCB, and to ACB, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And the other awardee, if she's here tonight, hopefully she is, Mary Catherine Jones.
I want to thank the North Carolina Council of the Blind so very much for this honor. I am so pleased to receive it. My husband, Johnny Brady Jones, was a member of this organization. He and Dale Wood and a few others organized this organization in Greensboro, North Carolina, years ago. And I promised my husband when he passed away that I would do all I can to keep and do what I could for North Carolina Council of the Blind. Thank you, and hope that we'll have a wonderful convention this week. Thank you so much.
Next we have, next I have a frog, and the water disappeared. From the Arizona Council of the Blind, another affiliate I got to visit last year, Life Membership Award to Susie Weatherford. Is Susie here? I'm sorry, no. Well, Bob Williams, hopefully, or Dan Martinez, please convey our best wishes to Susie. And she is here. Okay. Arkansas. Uh-oh. That one is on Lane Waters. That was A-R, Lane, not A-Z. I am so sorry I moved you. Is Susie here?
I'm here. Oh.
Please come forward and bail me out.
Go back to school, Mitch. Well, this is quite a surprise, and I'm going to be like Leroy and probably start bawling. But I love ACB. I don't know whether I chose blindness or it chose me. But as long as I can walk or crawl, I'll be at these conventions and fight for ACB and for all of you. Thank you.
Susie, I'll write Arkansas 50 times on a braille slate. from the ACB of New York, a life membership for John Farina. Okay.
It's a long way from New York to Kentucky. It took a while to get over there. It's a big state. I would, and the poor lady from Arkansas, she probably had the cheapest move that she ever had from Arkansas to Arizona. I would like to thank all the people who nominated me for this, and it's been a privilege to work for ACB. I was trying to think of when I joined, and I'm not sure I can remember, but I was probably a young person before I was married, after college, when I joined ACB. And I have been glad to be associated with them. There are two organizations that I would think of being a life member of. This one is one, and an amateur radio organization is another. So both organizations occupy a good place in my heart, and I thank you all.
From the state of Tennessee, Tennessee Council of the Blind awarded a life membership to Pam Robison. Is Pam here? I think I heard that Pam is not here. Someone is coming. Oh, I think that's Mr. Dillon. That's Matt Dillon.
Thank you very much. I'm the president. My name's Dan Dillon, by the way, and Mitch just said that, but I'm a little nervous. President of the Mid-Tennessee Council of the Blind, and Pam Robison is our treasurer. But she does so much more than serve as treasurer of our organization. She gets involved with just everything, grant writing, fundraising, serving meals, and Pam is very, very dedicated and committed to the American Council of the Blind. There's a little bit of a higher calling out there. Pam just became a grandma for the first time. And Pam couldn't be here tonight because she's spending time with as much time as she possibly can with her grandbaby out in Texas. And I'm very honored and proud to accept this award for Pam Robinson. Thank you.
From the Missouri Council of the Blind, I heard my friend Peter Altschul earlier call it Missouri, so I guess he's been indoctrinated, so I guess I better call it Missouri. If I can say Louisville, I can say Missouri. So, a life membership was awarded by the Missouri Council of the Blind to Linda Burris. Is Linda here?
Yes.
Come up. I've always wanted to say this. Come on down. And I promise I'll never say it again.
This is such an honor, and I appreciate it so much. 3 years ago, my husband received this and I never dreamed I'd be standing here 3 years later getting it. We've been a member of Missouri Council of the Blind for about, 17 years? Now, this is not my husband. My husband passed away. This is just a dear friend of mine that escorted me up here. We've been friends for many years. I want to thank Missouri Council of the Blind for this great, great honor and for the dear friend that nominated me. It's a pleasure to be associated with ACB and for the great work that everybody does, and an honor to still be working with this great organization. Thank you so much.
From the Virginia Association of the Blind, Hazel Burton. Is Hazel here, or is there someone who will? Good. Good, good. And Virginia is almost as far away as New York, it sounds like.
I would like to thank the Virginia Association of the Blind for honoring me with this great gift of lifetime membership. I have worked long and hard for this, and I plan to continue. Thank you very much.
This next Life Membership Award is being given anonymously, and it really must be because I talked to a friend of this individual's the other night, and this didn't know about it either. And since this individual who's getting the award is also a friend of mine, it's going to be a lot of fun. Ed Doc Bradley. Get down here, Doc.
I'm here. Ladies and gentlemen, I joined ACB in 1962, which is just 1 year after it became ACB. I have known many, many of the folks who started ACB, along with Durwood. But two people that stand out to me that still are around is M.J. Schmidt and Kathy Skivers. And I don't covet things very much, but this means a great deal to me. And I just found out, Mitch, who anonymously gave this to me, and it's not someone from Texas. And thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless everybody.
Next recipient is someone that we all know and love. The award is being given This is a clue. By Friends in Art. And it is also a surprise. And I think they had to do some fast talking to get him here tonight. He better be here. John Dashney, are you here?
I can't move quite as fast as I used to.
John said he can't move quite as fast. He got hit by a car last month. Is there an epidemic of that up in Oregon? Was it John Fleming recently, or not so recently now? Or Darian? Darian
Hart? Right,
yeah.
Okay. Well, for once in my life, I'm speechless. Thank you all very, very much. But come to our showcase Tuesday night. I will not be speechless then, I promise.
From the state of Virginia, David Lovern. David, are you here?
Although this is anonymous, I believe I know where it came from, and I just want to say thank you, and I'll try to earn it.
And a second surprise, we all hope, awardee from the state of Virginia, Iris Edwards. Is Iris coming? Okay. As long as we know she's somewhere within hailing distance.
Good evening. I'm almost to faint. I'm so surprised. I know it came from the VAB, Virginia. I don't know what to say. I love you all, and I will work even harder. I just love you, and I'm still in shock. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We have one more. This is temporarily anonymous, and it is absolutely a surprise. We are awarding a life membership to Donna Pomerantz.
Know what to say. This is definitely an organization that I'm never going away from. So this is my family, and all I could say is I am very surprised.
Thank you. You're stuck with me.
See, that's what comes of the fact that I pay the bills at home.
No, he balances.
I didn't say that I was the only one who spent the money. I just said that I'm the one who writes the checks, mostly.
Quit while you're ahead,
Betsy. Well, that too. And Anna Olson wants to say something? Absolutely.
I just want to say what a privilege it is for me to assist with the life memberships. I myself am a life member. I will always be associated with ACB. And Jim was a life member and always took the organization to his heart. Thank you for allowing me to assist with this.
Thank you, Ann. I just want to mention here that since 2005, well, in 2005, the board earmarked, I guess, the subsequent $50,000 received via life memberships designated that toward ACB scholarships. We are within $5,000 of that goal, meaning that we ought to surpass it next year. Of course, we could surpass it this year if five of you decide that you want to become life members of ACB by giving $1,000, or if you want to give $1,000 on behalf of someone. So we are very close to that goal. Maybe we'll make it this year. All right. Ooh, I did spill water on that note, didn't I? Oh, you did. Oh, thank you. Not quite where I wanted it, but that's okay. Let's figure out where we go from here. Oh, all right. And the reason I say that is that we're making a couple of minor adjustments to the program. Not serious, but a couple of minor adjustments. Okay. Yes. We are going to hear, and believe me, I have listened to Don Stevens, and we might make some changes next year to how we conduct some of our official business, but for some time now we have had a first credentials committee report on the Sunday evening, and maybe we won't need a second one. But in the meantime, let me bring the chair of the ACB credentials committee to a mic. He is also our roommate this week in the two-bedroom suite. That's why if Donna or I don't answer the phone, it's probably Jerry and or Edna. So let me bring on Jerry Annunzio.
I'm here. Very good. Well, thank you, Mitch. It's been a pleasure being your suite mate. Oh, we've been teased about that so far this week, so it's nothing new. It's been a real pleasure being chairman of the Credentials Committee, particularly when you have such great members on the team, which I want to recognize. Ray Campbell, Brian Charlson, Marcia Dresser, John Fleming, Ralph Smitherman, Marlena Lieberg, and, of course, Sharon Lovering. I want to thank these people. they give this this committee some very serious thought. And I want to express not only my appreciation to this team, but my thanks, because in the past 3 years, many of them have been on this committee. Martian particularly and John have been there, and they've been quite a support to me and showed me how how to try to do things right anyway. And we take very seriously what happens with the people's vote. And, of course, that's what we are here to certify. We, Marlena, of course, is new on the committee because she's the new secretary. And we went through every affiliate's votes today to make sure that we had them correct to the best of our ability. We had two affiliates that we had to make some adjustments to. I won't go into the personal reasons or those kinds of details. I can tell you if you want. I can tell you the reasons why these had to be brought down from their original votes that they were first allotted. And generally speaking, it was because their materials, either the list or the money or both, in most cases it's both, were late, considerably late, not just a day or two, but considerably late. Maine had was allotted two votes. The committee looked at all the information. Marsha Dresser had talked with the people, and the committee had voted to bring them down to one vote. The attorneys, the American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys, I always have to look at that because I'm not sure what all that AAAA means. again this year, came in late, and we talked with their representative, and he was concerned, and he told us the problems, and we were concerned about that. He assures us that this is not going to happen again because he is the treasurer, and he understands the importance of being on time. But we, the committee voted to reduce their three votes to 2.5. And Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, that's our vote, our report.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
That'll be done tomorrow if they do appeal.
Okay. All right. Because there is still some question regarding whether they will appeal, we have heard the first credentials report, and we will take up the final report tomorrow, and I promise Don Stevens that we will take a hard look next year and see about bringing our way of doing things into closer conformance with Robert's Rules of Order. Here is where I get to see if I can read a wet note. the standing rules of the convention, and we began this practice, remember, I think 3 or 4 years ago, but the standing rules of the convention are listed in the convention program. And if there are no objections, we would like to adopt those standing rules. There are this year 7, including one we added this year. Are there any objections to the adoption of the standing rules to run the 2008 ACB convention? We have a motion to adopt.
Second.
All those, and a second. All those. That makes 26 seconds. All those in favor of adoption of the standing rules signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The standing rules for the 2008 convention are adopted. We now have another bit of business that is not in the program, and this is the first time I've been made aware of this, or perhaps the first time this year that I was made aware of it. But we also are required under Roberts to adopt the program that's going to take place at the convention, and that program, of course, is also listed in your convention activities. Do we have a motion? I'm just the messenger, folks. We have a motion and a second to adopt the convention program. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There's one in every crowd. and abstentions. All right. We are now to Donna, we're on time. We're 5 minutes ahead of schedule. I had to say that. Debbie and Susie, are we door prize ready? I think they're debating the motion. I'm sorry? Not tonight. There's a line there that I will not use. It used to be that entire line actually was not tonight Josephine, and that was my mother's name. I think Al Gill just fell off the chair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for a roll call of the affiliates. I would only say, that if we can get through this expeditiously, you can all go dance or party, or in my case, maybe get some sleep tonight. Let me bring on to conduct the roll call of the state and special interest affiliates for the American Council of the Blind, my longtime friend and longtime colleague in this organization, the Secretary of ACB, Marlena Lieberg.
Yeah, I was pretty upset with those folks from Kentucky for getting you guys all riled up before I have to do this about those door prizes. okay, what I'm going to do is go through the roll call of affiliates. Anyone who does not answer the call will not be called again. So if you know that they've come, make sure they come and tell me that they're here, or I'll never call them. All right, off we go. Alabama Council of the Blind, 8 votes.
Alabama Council of the Blind, David Trott will be the delegate. Rhonda Trott will be the alternate. Rhonda Trott will be the person on the nominating committee, and we need 25 chairs.
All right. So that is David Trott, the delegate. Rhonda Trott, the alternate, and Rhonda Trott to nominating, and you need 25 chairs. Thank you. Alaska Independent Blind Incorporated, 16 votes. Alaska? Is Alaska here? All right. When you know you're getting close to your vote, please begin to proceed to the mic. We'll move on. Arizona Council of the Blind, 4 votes. All right, let's get you to a mic.
This is the Arizona Council of the Blind, Bob Williams speaking. 4 votes.
I'm sorry?
The Arizona Council of the Blind, you said, has 4 votes?
Yes.
And you want the delegate?
Yes, okay. I want your delegate.
The delegate is Barbara McDonald.
Okay.
The alternate delegate is Robert Williams. The person for the nominating committee is Ruth Bruding. And I believe we asked for 15 chairs.
Yes. All right. So your delegate is Barbara McDonald. Your alternate is Robert Williams. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Ruth Druding. And you need 15 chairs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Arkansas Council of the Blind, 5 votes.
This is Sandy Edwards. I'm the delegate. Dwayne Hodges is alternate delegate. Peggy Trail will be on the nominating committee. We need 14 chairs.
Thank you very much. So that is Sandy Edwards, your delegate. Dwayne Hodges, your alternate. Peggy Trail, your delegate to the nominating committee, and you need 14 chairs. California Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
California Council of the Blind. Right.
You're picking that up from Washington now. Careful.
We're trying. We're getting there. Jeff Tom, I am the president and the delegate. Christopher Gray is the alternate. Jeff Tom for the nominating committee, and we'll go for 45 chairs.
45. Whoa. All right. Jeff Tom is the delegate. Chris Gray is your alternate. Jeff Tom is your delegate for the nominating committee and 45 chairs. Thank you. ACB.
Madam Secretary. I'm sorry, this is Sandy Sanderson,
okay.
Alaska. I apologize.
I recognize Sandy.
Delegate is myself, Sandy Sanderson. Alternate will be Mary Montgomery and Jim Schwartz, nominating committee, and we like to have 4 chairs. And I apologize again for being a poke.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. So for Alaska, your delegate is Sandy Sanderson. Your alternate is Mary Montgomery. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Jim Schwartz, and you need 4 chairs. All right. Let me get back down here to where I know where I'm going. All right. ACB of Colorado, 2 votes.
Yes, this is Rod Chard, and I will be the delegate. I will also represent us at the nominating committee. Leroy Hill will be the alternate.
And how many chairs?
10 chairs, I'm sorry.
All right. So your delegate is Rod Chard. Leroy Hill is your alternate, and Rod Chard will be your delegate to the nominating committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the number of chairs again?
10 chairs.
10. That's what I wrote. Okay. Great. 10 chairs. Delaware Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 1 vote. Delaware? Are you here, Delaware? All right. We'll move on. D.C. Council of the Blind, 3 votes.
Thank you. From the land of taxation without representation.
You know, I almost said that, Oral. I almost put that in your affiliate name.
The District of Columbia Council of the Blind delegate will be Oral Miller. The alternate will be Sandra Sermons, as in what a preacher gives. And the representative to the nominating committee will be Mr. McKinley Young. And we need 10 seats.
All right. So, sorry here, I'm losing my place. All right. Your delegate is Oral Miller. Your alternate is Sandra Sermons. Your delegate to the nominating committee is McKinley Young. And you need 10 seats. Florida Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Florida Council of the Blind delegate is Robert Miller. Alternate delegate is Sally Benjamin. Delegate to nominating committee is William Benjamin. And we need 25 chairs.
All right. Your delegate is Robert Miller. Your alternate is Sally Benjamin. Your delegate to the nominating committee is William Benjamin. I bet they're related. And you need 25 chairs.
And you are correct.
Well, I'm pretty nervous up here, so glad to hear it. All right. Georgia Council of the Blind, 11 votes.
This is Alice Richard, and I will be the delegate. Marcia Farrow will be our alternate, and I will also be the delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 15 chairs.
All right. Alice Richard is your delegate. Marcia Farrell is your alternate. Alice Richard is your delegate to the nominating committee, and you need 20 chairs. Hawaii Association of the Blind, 2 votes. Aloha!
This is Warren Toyama, president of the Hawaii Association of the Blind, and I'll bring you aloha from Hawaii.
Aloha!
Try again. Aloha! Our delegate is Donald Thompson. The alternate is Ronald Flomata. Donald Thompson will serve on the nominating committee. We need 17 chairs.
All right.
But before you repeat it,
yes,
I just want to say that Hawaii pledges 1,000 to ACB and 1,000 to NELS.
Oh, thank you very much. Aloha. Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you, Hawaii. Your delegate is Don Thompson. Your alternate is Ronald Flamata. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Don Thompson, and you need 17 chairs.
Did I say 1,000 pennies or dollars?
You said dollars, and we're holding you to it.
You just said 1,000.
That's your story, and we're going to make sure you stick to it, buddy. All right. ACB of Idaho, 0 votes.
Ooh. 0 votes.
Idaho. One more time for Idaho. All right. Moving on. Illinois Council of the Blind, 7 votes.
I bring you greetings from a state where after 100 years, the Chicago Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2008. Isn't Marlena doing great?
That's what he thinks, right?
I'm Ray Campbell, president of the Illinois Council of the Blind. I will be the delegate. The alternate delegate is going to be Byron Lee. That's B-Y-R-O-N, first name, last name L-E-E. Karen Campbell, K-A-R-Y-N, last name Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L, will serve on the nominating committee. We need 20 chairs.
All right. Ray Campbell is the alternate.
Delegate.
Sorry, that's what I said. Okay, you know what? I told somebody the first mistake I make, since it's my first time, I'm going to go blah, 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 blah. Let's start it again. Ray Campbell is the delegate. Byron Lee is the alternate. Karen Campbell is the delegate to nominating, and they need 20 chairs.
You got it.
All right. ACB of Indiana, 9 votes.
Madam Secretary, ACB of Indiana, John Huffman will serve as the convention delegate. Jerry Coors will serve as alternate delegate. Don Coors will be our representative to the nominating committee, and we request 18 chairs.
John Huffman is the delegate. Jerry Coors, the alternate. Don Coors, the delegate to nominating committee, and they request 18 chairs.
That's correct, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. All right. Iowa Council of the United Blind, 5 votes.
Madam Secretary, Iowa Council of the United Blind, Robert Spangler is the delegate. Elsie Monty is the alternate. Stephanie Hunold will be our representative on the nominating committee, and we request 20 chairs.
Robert Spangler is the delegate. Elsie Monty is the alternate. Stephanie Hunold, and could you spell that name for us, Robert, so we get it
right? H-U-N-O-L-T.
Stephanie Hunold is the delegate to the nominating committee, and they require 20 chairs.
Correct. Thank you.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Kansas Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 6 votes.
Madam Secretary, Ann Byington will serve as the delegate. Alternate delegate is Phyllis Schmidt. Michael Byington will serve as delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 6 chairs, please.
Ann Byington is the delegate. Phyllis Schmidt is the alternate. Michael Byington, the delegate to the nominating committee, and they need 6 chairs. Bluegrass Council of the Blind, 4 votes.
Our delegate will be Susan Ament.
Could you spell that?
A-M-E-N-T. Our alternate delegate will be Carol Porter. Our designee to the nominating committee will be Paula Weiss, W-I-E-S-E. And we need 10 chairs, please.
All right. We're going to make sure you get them because you guys have been working so hard. All right. Your delegate is Susan Ament. Your alternate is Carol Porter. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Paula Weiss. And you need 10 chairs. Kentucky Council of the Blind, 15 votes.
Thank you, Kentucky Council of the Blind, home of the best bourbon makers in the city and state and the world, best gentlemen, looking gentlemen in the world and also in the convention. Thank you very much.
We have Eric
Fry as the delegate, Jim Shaw as the alternate delegate.
Well, I'm sorry, who's your delegate?
The best-looking guy, gentleman, Eric Fry.
Okay.
F-R-E-Y. Jim Shaw, alternate. Debbie Cossoir, please don't ask me to spell that last name, as the nominating committee, and we need at least 35 chairs.
All right. All right. So your delegate is Eric Fry. Your alternate is Jim Shaw. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Debbie Pushois. Is that right?
Correct.
Debbie. The door prize, Debbie. Your delegate to the nominating committee is door prize, Debbie. And, and you require 35 chairs.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, sir. Louisiana Council of the Blind, 2 votes.
Louisiana Council of the Blind. This is Grady Ebert. Hello, ACB. Cynthia Taylor will serve as our delegate. Grady Ebert will serve as alternate. And Grady Ebert will serve on the nominating committee.
All right.
Do you need any spellings?
No, because you sent it to me ahead of time. So I know that Grady Ebert's last name is E-B-E-R-T.
I wanted to be sure you had it correct.
I do, sir. I do. All right, so your delegate is Cynthia Taylor. Your alternate is Grady Ebert. You need, and your delegate to the nominating committee is Grady Ebert, and you need 12 chairs.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. ACB of Maine, one vote. Is Maine here? One more time. Is Maine here? All right, moving along. ACB of Maryland, five votes.
Thank you. ACB of Maryland, our delegate is Al Pietrolungo. The alternate is Patrick Sheehan. The delegate to the nominating committee is Penny Reeder, and we would like 20 chairs.
Okay, can we change that? Good, you upped your amount from what you sent me. Cool. That means more people showed up. All right, so your delegate is Al Pietrolungo. Your alternate is Pat Sheehan. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Penny Reeder, and you need 20 chairs.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. One of my former homes in the world, Bay State Council of the Blind, seven votes.
Good evening, everybody. For Bay State, the delegate will be myself, Bob Hache. Alternate will be Marcia Dresser. Nominating committee, Bob Hache. And our number went up a bit. We need 17 chairs.
I beg
the chair's indulgence for a very brief announcement to anyone who's been looking to get into that bourbon bar. It is opening this week. It was like a state secret to find out it's opening, I believe, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. this week.
All right. All right. Of course, nobody will leave session to go to the bourbon bar, right?
Oh, no.
No, I know better than that. All right. Your delegate is Bob Hache. Your alternate is Marcia Dresser. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Bob Hache, and you would like 17 chairs. ACB of Minnesota, four votes.
Marlena. Oh, might help if I talked into
there you
the
go.
Microphone.
I was going to answer you, but nobody else they would have thought I was talking to myself.
Well, that could be interesting. Yeah. Minnesota. I'm Janet Dickelman. I'm the delegate. Our alternate delegate is Eileen Vasquez. I will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 18 chairs.
Wow, you made yours go up, too. Okay. All right. Minnesota, your delegate is Janet Dickelman. Your alternate is Eileen Vasquez. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Janet Dickelman, and you need 18 chairs.
Correct.
Mississippi Council of the Blind, 10 votes.
Hello, I'm Gary Austin. I'm president of the Mississippi Council of the Blind, and I will serve as the delegate. Rebecca Floyd will be serving as the alternate. Ralph Smitherman, the nominating committee, and we need 20 chairs.
All right. Your delegate is Gary Austin. Your alternate is Becky Floyd. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Ralph Smitherman, and Mississippi needs 20 chairs.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to follow Mitch's tradition. Missouri Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Excuse me. Almost walked over it.
Oh, dear.
A proud state of Missouri. Council of the Blind, I'm Phyllis Lovett, president. I will be the delegate. Leroy Welch will be the alternate delegate. And Janelle Edwards will be our nominations delegate. And we need 56 chairs.
Wow, be still my heart. All right, let me read all this back. That's great, Phyllis. Your delegate is Phyllis Lovett. Your alternate is Leroy Welsh. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Janelle Edwards, and you need 56 chairs. Woo-hoo. Montana Blind and Low Vision Council, one vote.
Madam Secretary, this is Alan Peterson from the Membership Committee. Montana regrets they could not be here to be at the convention, but they send their greetings from Big Sky.
Ah.
So.
They plan to be here next year, hopefully.
Well, perhaps they're listening on ACB radio, so hello, Montana.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let's encourage that affiliate. We did? It's not. Oh, dear. The secretary is telling me that I didn't call Michigan, and she's right because it's not on my list. Have you got the vote? It's here. Don't worry. How many votes? Oh, hang on. I have a backup.
Worrying about Rick.
Boy, I'm going to owe Michigan big time. Let's see. When in doubt, pull out the hard copy Braille and look for Michigan, right? Hey! Okay. Last thing my husband said when I left the room tonight is, if you got your hard copy Braille, God, do I love you, Gary. Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 6 votes. Oh, come on, Michigan. After all that, you got to be here. Michigan? You're coming. Oh, good. Okay. I wish I knew songs about Michigan, you know? I know a song about Ohio, but we're in Michigan, so.
That's what happens when they lose their football coach.
Oh! Poor Michigan. Well, they're coming.
Hello, Marlena. This is Gary Wood. I'm here. There's a couple others from Michigan. I don't know how this, since this is my first time doing this. There's another couple there from Michigan, and then two
we're
more.
We're up here, Gary.
What?
We're up here.
Okay, they're Gary, they've got it.
Okay.
And welcome to your first convention.
Thank you. How many votes did you say we had?
Michigan, you have 6 votes.
6 votes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Will this voting be done on Friday?
Well, it's all throughout the week, sir. Have you established your delegate, alternate, and delegate to nominating?
Yeah, my name is Jim Moore, and I am the second vice president of the Michigan delegation. And I don't know for sure who all's here, but I'll be a delegate, my wife will be the second alternate.
Okay, and what is her name?
Arlene Moore.
I'm sorry, Arlene Moore?
You're right. And Gary Wood will be the delegate for nominating. And there's another fella here, but I can't think of his name. I don't know where he's at.
All right, and how many chairs do you need, Michigan?
Probably 4 or 5.
All right. You know what? Let's give you 6. Maybe you'll find some more people there. What do you think, convention? All right. Let's encourage people. All right. Thank you, Jim. So for Michigan, the delegate is Jim Moore. The alternate is Arlene Moore. The delegate to the nominating committee at his very first convention is Gary Wood, and they need 6 chairs. All right. ACB of Nebraska, 2 votes.
Nebraska, where the N stands for knowledge. Nobody said we could spell it. And thankful we lost our football coach, too, by the way. So, anyway.
Yes, sir.
The delegate and the alternate will be one and the same. That way, if the delegate can't do it, the alternate can fill in.
Wait.
And that is Jim, last name Yurok. You have the spelling in advance. I can spell it, though, if you like.
Yeah, spell it, because I don't actually have it.
You don't?
No.
You must not have picked up the email.
Okay, go ahead.
J-I-R-A-K.
Okay.
The alternate is the same. That way, as I say, if I can't do one, I can do the other. And keeping with the Jim tradition, Mr. Faymon, F-A-I-M-O-N, will be the nominating committee.
And how many chairs?
As it said in the email, 10.
10. All right. All right. So we have for Nebraska, we have Jim Murak for the delegate. Jim Murak for the alternate. That's interesting. I just realized that. So if you have to be somewhere, Jim, just clone yourself. Jim Faymon for the nominating committee and 10 chairs. All right. Nevada Council of the Blind, 2 votes.
Carol Ewing will be the delegate. Jim Cavool will be the alternate delegate. Jim Cavool will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 7 chairs.
All right. The delegate is Carol Ewing. The alternate is Jim Cavool. The delegate to the nominating committee is Jim Cavool. And you need 7 chairs.
Correct.
Thank you. New Jersey Council of the Blind, 6 votes.
Okay. Audalie Lucas will be the delegate.
Could you spell that, please?
O-T-T-I-L-I-E and Lucas, L-U-C-A-S.
All right.
Robert Lucas will be the alternate. Audalie Lucas will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 6 chairs.
All right. New Jersey, Audalie Lucas will be the delegate. Mm-hmm. Robert Lucas. I'm sorry?
That's right.
We don't have a New Hampshire affiliate, but if you'd like, we can create one right now. Oh, my heart. You know, don't scare me. I only want to forget one, you know? All right, let me do this again. Audalie Lucas will be the delegate. Robert Lucas will be the alternate. Audalie Lucas will be the delegate to the nominating committee. And New Jersey needs 6 chairs.
Correct.
ACB of New Mexico, 2 votes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Lucy Berbiglia from the great state of New Mexico, land of enchantment.
Hey!
And I will be the convention delegate.
And could you spell your last name, Lucy?
B-I-R-B-I-G-L-I-A.
All right.
And the alternate delegate will be Geraldine Chufi, and I guess I'll spell that one, too.
I think you will, yes.
C-U-I-F-F-I, and I will be the nominating committee delegate, and we need 8 chairs.
8 chairs, wonderful. All right, Lucy Berbiglia will be the delegate. Geraldine Chufi will be the alternate. Lucy will be the delegate for the nominating committee, and they need 8 chairs. ACB of New York, Incorporated, 8 votes.
ACB of New York, the delegate will be Lori Scharf. Alternate will be Pratik Patel. And the representative to the nominating committee will be Pratik Patel. And we will need 30 chairs.
All right. ACB of New York, Lori Scharf, the delegate. Pratik Patel, the alternate delegate. Pratik Patel, the delegate to the nominating committee, and New York needs 30 chairs.
That's correct.
North Carolina, Council of the Blind, 8 votes.
Ron Eller, delegate. Thelma Crumpler, alternate. Ron Eller to the nominating. We'll need 25 chairs.
All right, and I'm sorry, I didn't get Thelma's last name.
Crumpler.
Okay. All right. Ron Eller, delegate. Thelma Crumpler, alternate. Ron Eller to the nominating committee. And 25 chairs.
Correct.
Thank you. North Dakota Association of the Blind, 7 votes.
Madam Secretary, this is Alan Peterson from North Dakota Association of the Blind. I will serve as the delegate. Do you need the spelling on my name?
I've got it.
Okay, very good. Peterson is spelled the right way, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N.
Yes, sir.
Very good. And Evelyn Hildebrandt will serve as our alternate.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the alternate name.
Evelyn Hildebrandt. I'll spell the last name for
please.
You. H-I-L-D-E-B-R-A-N-D. And I will serve as the representative to the nominating committee, and we will need 7 chairs.
All righty.
Very good.
So, for North Dakota, Alan Peterson with an O-N is their delegate. Evelyn Hildebrandt, their alternate. Alan Peterson will be the delegate to the nominating committee. They need 7 chairs. ACB of Ohio, 10 votes.
Madam Secretary, for the Buckeye State, the delegate will be Joyce Rogers. The alternate delegate will be Mary Hyland. That's H-I-L-A-N-D. The delegate for the nominating committee will be Joyce Rogers. And we would like 40 chairs, please.
All right. For Ohio, Joyce Rogers is the delegate. Mary Hyland is the alternate. Joyce Rogers, the delegate to the nominating committee. Ohio needs 40 chairs. Oklahoma Council of the Blind, 25 votes. Go get them, Oklahoma.
Yes, I'm Perry Sanders, president of the Oklahoma Council of the Blind. I will be the delegate. The alternate will be Lori Leach. And I will also be the delegate to the nominating committee.
And your chairs?
25.
That's what I got. All right. For Oklahoma, Perry Sanders is the delegate. Lori Leach is the alternate.
Okay.
Perry Sanders is the delegate to the nominating committee, and Oklahoma needs 25 chairs. ACB of Oregon, 9 votes.
I'm James Edwards. I will be the delegate from Oregon. Kay Seth will be our alternate, and I will be the nominating committee delegate, and we will need 10 chairs.
For Oregon, James Edwards is the delegate. Kay Seth is the alternate. James Edwards will attend the nominating committee, and Oregon needs 10 chairs. Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Good evening. From Pennsylvania, George Holliday would be the delegate. John Horst would be the alternate. George Holliday would be the representative to the nominating committee. And we would need 35 chairs.
From Pennsylvania, George Holliday is the delegate. John Horst is the alternate. George Holliday will go to nominating committee, and Pennsylvania requests 35 chairs. ACB of South Carolina, 2 votes. Is South Carolina here? Are you coming? Oh, I think I heard a yes. South Carolina? They disappeared. All right. Oh, I'm hearing they're coming or not? Though, yes, I'm hearing a yes from the rear of the room, so we're going to wait a second. Yeah. Well, you know, they're flying in from South Carolina, so, you know. On my ACB radio show, I frequently relocate people when they call. I say, oh, hi, Susie, you're from Texas. And she says, no, I'm from Maine. You know. You know. South Carolina, are you here? All right. Now I'm being told there's no one here, so we will move along. South Dakota Association of the Blind, 3 votes.
I'm Shelley Hart.
And I'm
And I'm Keith Bundy. And we are
co-presidents of the South Dakota Association of the Blind. And happy to be here with nine people, so we'll need nine chairs this year. And our official delegate is Keith Bundy, B-U-N-D-Y. Our alternate is Deb Versteeg, capital V-E-R, capital S-T-E-E-G. And our person on the nominating committee will also be Deb Versteeg.
And Madam Secretary, by popular request, and for the Chicago Cubs, who happen to be my team also.
And we can't spell that.
Yeah, right. I can't write that either. All right. Your delegate is Keith Bundy. Your alternate is Deb Versteeg. Deb Versteeg will go to the nominating committee, and you need nine chairs with no sirens. Okay. Got to keep this roll call interesting, you know. All right. Tennessee Council of the Blind, six votes.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
I'm Brenda Dillon, president of the Tennessee Council of the Blind. I will serve as delegate. Kathy Lamb will be our alternate delegate. And Carol Francisco, like the city, will be our representative to the nominating committee. And we need, get this, guys, 28 chairs.
You made it go up. Woo! All right. Let me change my 5 to an 8, and we are now ready. I just lost you. There you are. All right. Tennessee. Their delegate is Brenda Dillon. Their alternate is Kathy Lamb. Or as Brenda said, Lamb. Their delegate to the nominating committee is Carol Francisco, and they need 28 chairs. ACB of Texas, 12 votes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. ACB of Texas, Ed Doc Bradley will be the delegate. Carol Edwards will be our alternate delegate. Ed Doc Bradley will be the delegate to the nominating committee. And we need 25 chairs. And has anyone heard how Carol Edwards is after falling down and gone and taken to the hospital? Have we got a report on her?
No. I don't think any of us were aware up here that that had actually happened.
She fell down the escalator and was taken to the hospital a while ago.
All right, for Texas, and we will all send our thoughts Carol's way and send her good healing thoughts. For Texas, Ed Doc Bradley is the delegate. Carol Edwards is the alternate. Ed Doc Bradley goes to nominating committee, and Texas needs 25 chairs. Utah Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Hi, Marlena. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Cindy.
As I emailed you, I will be the delegate, and Belva Franzen, F-R-A-N-D-S-E-N, will be the alternate, and I will be the delegate to the nominations committee, and we need 12 chairs plus a little bit more space. Thank you.
Okay. Let me just fix your chairs here. Cindy Vega will be the alternate.
Delegate.
I'm sorry, the delegate. That's what I meant. Belva Franzen will be the alternate. Cindy Vega will go to the nominating committee. And they would like 12 chairs plus a little bit of space because they have two people in power chairs. Vermont Council of the Blind, 3 votes.
Vermont Council of the Blind, Tom Frank is the delegate. The alternate will be Janet Dooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y, and nominating committee Tom Frank.
Okay, and I need to make a correction. Sorry, just a second here. You actually have 2 votes. That's my error.
I wondered if we picked up
one
there.
Well, see, you were just going to take them now. Come on.
Yeah. I didn't actually really know. I didn't think we increased our membership.
Sure. All right. Would you?
And we need two chairs.
Well, one for each.
Which
boat.
Is 100% increase from the last time.
And could you repeat your delegate again? And I'm sorry, your delegate.
Tom
alternate.
Frank.
Okay,
delegate.
Tom, right.
Janet Dooley, alternate. And that's D-O-O-L-E-Y.
Okay.
And I'll be on the nominating committee.
Okay.
And as a long-time Boston Red Sox fan, Cubs, there is hope. You pray after 86 years, we did.
Okay. Take me out to the ball game after this is over. All right. Vermont Council of the Blind with two big votes. Tom Frank is the delegate. Janet Dooley is the alternate delegate. Tom Frank will be the delegate to the nominating committee. They have 100% attendance, so they need two chairs. Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, three votes.
Madam Secretary, this is Charlie Hodge, the president of the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I will be the Old Dominion official delegate. Our alternate delegate is Billy Jean Keith. Our representative to the nominating committee is Patricia Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. And we will need 10 chairs.
10, okay. All right. Charlie Hodge will be the delegate. Billy Jean Keith is the alternate. Patricia Beatty will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and they require 10 chairs. Virginia Association of the Blind, 7 votes. I know, you're not the only one that's crying, kid, but we're getting through it. We're getting through it.
We are the Virginia Association of the Blind. The delegate will be Hazel Burton. The alternate delegate will be Patricia Brown. The nominating committee will be Mildred Jackson. And we need 20 chairs.
Wow, you up yours too. All right. Hazel Burton is the delegate. Patricia Brown is the alternate. Mildred Jackson will be going to nominating, and they would like 20 chairs. Oh, boy, here comes the one I've been waiting to call all night. My own affiliate, Washington Council of the Blind, 17 votes.
Good evening. This is Denise Colley, president of the Washington Council of the Blind. I, Denise Colley, will be the delegate. Our alternate delegate will be Terry Atwater. I will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and Washington proudly requests 30 chairs, please.
All right. Denise Colley is the delegate. Terry Atwater is the alternate. Denise Colley will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and Washington proudly requests 30 chairs. Okay, Mountain State Council of the Blind, 2 votes.
Okay, greetings from the Mountain State and the home of the West Virginia Mountaineers. And I want to go on record as to say that Michigan's football coach loss is West Virginia's gain, for those of you who follow college football. But anyway, Donna Brown will be the delegate. Nynetta Garner will be the alternate delegate. Nynetta Garner will be our representative for the nominating committee, and we need 4 chairs.
Okay, that's real different from the one I got, so good. All right.
I told you it was going to be
different. Yeah, I know, but I forgot you told me till you said it. Donna Brown will be the delegate. Nynetta Garner will be the alternate. Nynetta Garner will attend the nominating committee, and they need 4 chairs.
Yes. It's Garner, G-A-R-N-E-R.
Yeah,
okay.
I said Garner.
Okay, it sounded like Garner.
I know Mitch thought I said Gardner also, and he was yelling at me up here. So, ACB of Wisconsin, 5 votes.
ACB of Wisconsin was the delegate, which we sent you in the first email, is not available. So Nona Graves will be the delegate, Richard Johnson will be the alternate, and Kathy Brockman will be the representative to the nominating committee. Thank you.
And your chairs?
Oh, about 10.
About 10. Okay. All right. Nona Graves will be the delegate, Richard Johnson the alternate, Kathy Brockman will be the delegate to nominating, and they require about 10 chairs. Give or take, you know, give them 11. Wyoming Council of the Blind, one vote. Wyoming. And one more time for Wyoming. All right. On to our special interest affiliates. Remember to come to the mic. You know when you're coming up. So, Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, three votes. AABL? Call them one more time, or two more. AAVL, are you here?
We're getting there.
They're asleep.
No chair. Stop it, you guys. AAVL for the final time. Okay, moving onward. American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys.
I'm Ellen Telker.
Wait, Ellen. 2.5 votes.
Okay. I'm Ellen Telker, president of AVIA. I will be the delegate. Gary Austin will be the alternate. And the delegate to the nominating committee will be Charles Navarrete. That's N as in Nancy, A, B as in
Boy. Wait. Ellen, slow down a second. Okay, start his last name again for me.
Navarrete. N as in Nancy. A, B as in boy, A, R, R, E, T, T, E, I believe it is.
E, T,
T, E.
T,
E.
E. E, T, T, E.
Yeah.
Okay, and how many chairs?
Quiet.
Whoa.
Quiet.
I'm sorry, dog, you can't vote.
Yes.
How many? this is not the, this is not one of the recent presidential elections. I'm sorry.
No.
All right. So, Ellen, ooh. Ellen, how many chairs?
Most people sit with their state.
All
so I would
right.
Say two.
And your alternate again was whom?
Gary Austin.
All right. So, your delegate, Ellen Telker, your alternate, Gary Austin, your delegate to the nominating committee, Charles Navarrete.
Do you need my name spelled?
No, I know how to spell your name.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. ACB Diabetics in Action, two votes. ACB ACB.
I'm here.
Are you here? Okay.
Yeah. Had to get around people.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. D. Clayton will be the delegate. Carol Edwards, the alternate. And Bill Crayling. Carol wasn't here, so I find out if I pronounced it right.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Bill's last name.
It's Crayling. It's K-R-A-E-H-L-I-N-G, I believe.
All right. And how many?
We need five chairs.
You need five chairs. Okay. So it is D. Clayton as the delegate, Carol Edwards as the alternate, Bill Crayling as the delegate to the nominating committee, and you would like five chairs. ACB Government Employees, two votes.
For ACB Government Employees, Billie Jean Keith will be the delegate. The alternate is Kathy Brockman. And the delegate to the nominating committee is Sarah Presley. And we sit with our delegation.
Billie Jean Keith is the delegate. Kathy Brockman, the alternate. Sarah Presley is the delegate to the nominating committee, and you will sit in your delegation. ACB Human Service Professionals, 2 votes.
ACB Human Service Professionals, our delegate will be Donna Williams. Alternate will be Marlene O'Neill. Nominating committee rep will be Donna Williams, and we will be sitting with our delegation, so we will not need chairs.
Excuse me, Marlena?
Yes.
Marlena, this is Donna Williams. Others have changed for the nominating committee. It's going to be Marlene O'Neill.
All right.
Thank you.
Boy, and I did such a good job of keeping up with him, too. All right, we've got it. Okay, so your delegate is Donna Williams. Your alternate is Marlene O'Neill. Marlene O'Neill will also attend the nominating committee, and you will be seated with your delegations. American Council of Blind Lions, 4 votes.
American Council of Blind Lions will have Margaret Johnson as the delegate. We'll have Joan Cox as the alternate delegate. And for the delegate to the nominating committee will be Adam Rushabaugh. We'll need 4 chairs.
All right, so for the Lions, Margaret Johnson is the delegate, Joan Cox is the alternate, Adam Rushable gets to go to nominating, and they would like 4 chairs.
Roar.
Yeah, roar. They want roar chairs. ACB Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
ACB Radio Amateurs, delegate Mike Duke. Alternate, Andy Baracco. Nominating committee representative, Robert Rogers. Our members sit with their state delegations and see you on the radio.
10-4. Okay. No. I'm a ham. They'll throw me out of the fraternal order if I do that. All right. Your delegate is Mike Duke. Your alternate is Andy Baracco. Robert Rogers will go to the nominating committee, and you'll all sit in your own delegations and talk on the radio. Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays, 6 votes.
BFLAG's delegate is Rob Hill. Alternate is Butch Arnold. And the nominating committee rep is Jeremy Lane, L-A-N-E.
I'm sorry, spell the last name again.
Certainly,
hear you.
L-A. And E.
Okay. And how many chairs?
Like 8 chairs, please.
8 chairs, okay. All right. Your delegate is Rob Hill. Your alternate is Butch Arnold. Jeremy Lane will go to the nominating committee, and you want 8 chairs.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Blind Information Technology Specialists, 4 votes.
Blind Information Technology Specialist. I, President Richard Villa, will be the delegate. Vice President Michael Malver will be the alternate delegate. And I, Richard Villa, will serve on the nominating committee, and we need 5 chairs.
Your delegate is Richard Villa. Your alternate is Michael Malver. Richard Villa will go to the nominating committee, and you need 5 technically oriented chairs.
Not electric chairs, though.
I didn't say that. No, just technically oriented ones. Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
I'm Gary Patterson. I'll serve as the delegate for the Braille Revival League. Kim Charlson will be the alternate delegate. And Sandra Sermons will be the delegate to the nominating committee, and we need 5 chairs.
Gosh, if you only needed 6, I could call it a Braille cell. Oh, I got to keep you all awake. Come on, guys. All right. This will be a roll call you'll never forget, right? All right. Your delegate is Gary Patterson. Your alternate is Kim Charlson. Sandra Sermons will go to the nominating committee. You're 1 dot short of a cell for chairs, and you only need 5.
Thank you.
Woo. Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, 13 votes.
Bernice Kendrick, President.
Whoa. Do we have twins?
Sounds like it.
Okay, who's going to speak for you?
I will.
All right.
Bernice Kandarian, President. Our delegate will be Patricia Beattie. Our alternate delegate is Fred Scheigert.
Could you spell Fred's last name?
Yes, S-C-H-E-I-G-E-R-T.
Okay.
And Bernice Kandarian will serve on the nominating committee.
And how many chairs?
Five chairs, Pat. Five chairs.
Better make it eight, she says. All right.
Okay.
We're liberal with chairs around here today. All right. So your delegate is Patricia Beattie. I never call her Patricia. So your delegate is Pat Beattie. Your alternate is Fred Scheigert. Bernice Kandarian goes to the operating room, I was going to say. Oh, guys. Okay. Bernice Kandarian, after she goes to the operating room, we're going to send her to the nominating committee, and they want eight chairs. Oh, dear. I don't know where it came from. Council of Families with Visual Impairment, one vote.
Hi, Deanna Scoggins is the delegate. And Adam Rushable is the alternate.
Okay, wait. Could you? Who's the delegate? I'm sorry. It's a little hard to hear up here.
It's Deanna Scoggins.
Okay.
Adam Rushable is the alternate.
Okay.
And Carla Rushable is the surgeon. The nominee.
I thought you said she was the sergeant.
That too.
She is the sergeant. And do you guys need chairs?
No.
No, you're going to stand the whole time. All right. All right. So your delegate is... These people are making me laugh up here, you guys. All right. Your delegate is Deanna Scoggins. Your alternate is Adam Rushable. And Sergeant Carla Rushable will go to the nominating committee. And you're going to stand all the time. You want no chairs. All right. Friends in Art of ACB Incorporated.
Yes, ma'am.
Two votes, yes, ma'am.
Friends in Art. Gloria Broderick is the delegate. Harvey Miller is the alternate delegate. Gloria Broderick is the rep to the nominating committee. And, well, the president says we want seven chairs, but we never have that many people over there. So I think we want five chairs.
Five chairs. You're defying the president.
I,
all right.
I am, yes, I am.
All right. Everybody make note of that. All right. Gloria Broderick is your delegate. Harvey Miller is your alternate. Gloria Broderick goes to the nominating committee, and you want five chairs in spite of what your president says. Guide Dog Users Incorporated, 25 votes.
Hi, Marlena. Our delegate, the Guide Dog Users delegate, is Penny Reeder. The alternate delegate is Sheila Styron. And Becky Barnes will represent us at the nominating committee. And we would like nine chairs. Thank you.
Nine chairs. Okay. So your delegate is Penny Reeder. Your alternate is Sheila Styron. Becky Barnes will go to the nominating committee. And you need nine chairs. Independent visually impaired. I didn't get this right when I said it today either. Hold on. Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers, two votes.
Independent Visually Impaired Enterprises, Artist Basin President will serve as delegate. The alternate delegate will be Jeanette Gerard. The delegate to the nominating committee will be Artist Basin. And just give us two chairs.
All right. Artist Basin is your delegate. Jeanette Gerard is your alternate. Artist Basin will go to the nominating committee, and you would like two chairs. Library Users of America, three votes. Library Users? Okay, did you say you were coming? Yeah, because I can't. Has Has the library closed, or are we?
I'm sorry. Well,
I know it's after hours, and
I apologize.
Sunday. There you go.
It wasn't supposed to be me who was here. This is Barry Levine. You need a delegate. I'm going to place myself as delegate since nobody else is in the room to do that. I'm going to make, as even though I didn't ask him, Ken Stewart as alternate delegate. He is, of course. He sits on the board. And no, he does not.
And your nominating committee, yeah. You guys can argue about all
yeah,
that
nominating
later.
Committee, if Judy Cannon's in the room, let her say no, but I'm going to have her show up for the nominating committee. And as far as chairs go, historically, Lua, the board, and members sit with their affiliate states, so we won't ask for any chairs.
All right, we won't give you any then. How's that? All right. So, Barry Levine is the delegate, Ken Stewart is the alternate, and Judy Cannon is going to the nominating committee. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Marlena.
National Alliance of Blind Students, 3 votes. Hey!
Hi, my name is Sam Herbert. It looks like I'm the only Montanan in the room. But I am here. It is my first convention, and I'm pleased to say that I'm going to be the delegate.
And could you spell your last name for me, Sam?
It is H-E-R-B-E-R-T. And our alternate is going to be John Lipsey.
And could you spell John's name?
Uh-huh. L-I-P-S-E-Y.
All right.
And our fearless nomination committee is going to be headed by the youngest member of the board, ACB board, that is Cami Vludman.
All right. And I know how to spell Cami's name.
Congratulations.
And how many chairs would you like?
We're debating chairs either. We are hopefully going to be the aggressive group that is the face of tomorrow for ACB, and we may not need chairs because we're hoping to just go with it.
You're going to stand the whole week, too, right?
We're
going to
stand
all
week,
right.
Because we're standing on the shoulders of the people that have made it possible so we can make tomorrow happen.
There you go.
But just in case we get restless leg syndrome, we would like 15 chairs.
All right.
Thank you very much.
15 chairs, and welcome to your first convention.
Thanks.
Sam Herbert, whose first convention this is the delegate. John Lipsey is the alternate. My colleague on the board, Cami Vludman, is the delegate to the nominating committee. And our students want 15 chairs. Woo! National Association of Blind Teachers.
I'm Patty Slobby. I'm the delegate. Our alternate delegate has to be found because she's already been taken. Our person to the nominating committee is Marcia Dresser. And we will sit with our state affiliations.
All right. The delegate is Patty Slavy. The alternate will be announced because she's been taken. Boy, it's getting interesting. The delegate to the nominating committee is my longtime friend, Marcia Dresser, and you will be sitting in your delegations. Randolph Shepherd, Vendors of America, 25 votes.
RSVA will have Eddie Turner as our delegate, Charlie Glazer as the alternate, and Charlie Glazer as the nominating committee person.
And chairs?
Given the fact that everybody has been graciously giving back chairs that they usually take, we will take 200 chairs. And you'll be able to find them in various vending machines around town.
You know, you're not supposed to do this to the new secretary. I almost wrote 200 chairs.
I would say 4 would probably be sufficient.
I would say so, too. Never let me disagree with you. All right, so your delegate is Eddie Turner. Your alternate is Charlie Glaser. Your delegate to the nominating committee is Charlie, and you need 4 chairs. Visually Impaired Veterans of America, 1 vote.
I'm John Fleming, and I'll be the delegate. David Dowland will be the alternate.
Could you spell his name?
Skip Sharp will be nominating committee, and next year I think we ought to do this in reverse order.
Okay, and John, could you spell David's last name, please?
Who? David Dowland, D-O-W-L-A-N-D.
I was going to say who. I don't know. You said it, not me. Okay, and who? And it's getting late. And who is your delegate to nominating?
Skip Sharp. Skip. S-H-A-R-P-E.
All right. And how many chairs?
We'll take eight.
Eight. All right. All right. So for the veterans, we have John Fleming as the delegate, David Dowland as the alternate. Skip Sharp goes to nominating committee, and they will take eight chairs. And that, Mr. President, is the call of the roll of the affiliates of the American Council of the Blind for the 2008 convention. Thank you so much, everyone, for all your help. I appreciated it. Y'all made it easy on me for the first time. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlena. Who seeks the floor? That's who I thought that was. Get to a mic, please, Connie. Shh. We're almost done for the evening. Mm-hmm. You got it, Connie? Yeah. Wouldn't have taken so long if she'd stayed in California.
You're right about that one. just a point of information. Are people allowed to represent more than one affiliate?
Yes. If there is no other representative. Right now, it's not an issue until such time. I think all of the duplicates are as alternate delegates. It becomes a problem if a delegate leaves and there's no one else to replace them. So this happens from time to time. And we probably don't need to worry about it too much until Friday.
Mr. President?
Who seeks floor?
Bob Hache from Massachusetts.
Yeah,
just
Bob.
Need to make a quick revision in the number of chairs for Bay State. We'll need 16 chairs and one space. We do have a gentleman using a wheelchair this year.
So 16 chairs and then one space for a wheelchair.
That's correct.
Got it, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first session of the ACB convention stands in recess. We will reconvene tomorrow morning at 8:30. Sharp.
There we go. There you have it. All the state affiliates and all the special interest groups. And Marlene Lieber doing stand-up almost. It's great stuff.
She did a very good job for her first roll call.
I reckon so. I think so too. And I hope, dear listener, you have enjoyed our coverage of this. We will be back tomorrow just after 8 Eastern, which is midday, I believe.
That'll be 12.
Universal. 12 Universal. And we'll carry the whole session. It's just a morning session, if I remember rightly.
Yes, it is.
So stay with us. And there will be podcasts after the first rerun. There will be a podcast then. We'll be taking it from the actual replay, so there will be a podcast after the first rerun. So with that, I'd like to say it's been a pleasure bringing this to you on behalf of Larry and myself. I hope Larry has enjoyed his sojourn at the microphone. And we've got one more thing to do, and then we're out of here. So from all of us to all of you, have a nice day. Bye.
TerraTech's accessible digital lifestyle is a hot topic and getting hotter. Here's your chance to add some sizzle to your life by participating in our online survey and enrolling to win a complete digital lifestyle makeover. Here's what you can win. An Asus 2-pound netbook PC with 1 gigabyte of main memory and an 8 gigabyte SSD drive fully equipped for accessible wireless networking, including Ceratech's award-winning System Access screen reader, a complete Ceratech software as service package, including System Access Mobile, 4 years of System Access Mobile Network and Neo Speech, a HumanWare Victor Stream audiobook player, a Creative Lab Zen Stone MP3 player, and one copy of any Mobile Speak screen reader for your mobile device, courtesy of Code Factory, the digital lifestyle maker.
makeover is worth more than $2,000, and all you have to do is answer a few really easy questions. Of course, you don't have to wait to win to get access and be accessible. If you're one of the first 100 people to sign up for Saratech's four-year software as service package, we'll send you a ZenStone MP3 player at no charge. For more information, please visit Saratech on the web at www.saratech.com. Access life with Saratech's digital lifestyle. Start your makeover today. The winner of our Summer Sizzle contest will be drawn on the Sunday after Labor Day on ACB Radio's Marlena program. And the winner must be at home to win.